Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Q&A episode of Weekly Manga Recap for January 2016. I'm Nick, you're alongside Chris. How you doing, man?
It's cold, Nick. It's very cold.
Yeah, it's even a little bit chilly down here.
It snowed today, which is annoying.
And no, it did. You're lying. Yeah. Snow isn't real, Chris. You can stop lying to me. It's like Santa Claus. Oh, shit, no!
All of our 10-year-old viewers! Who have somehow not been forced to stop listening after all of our cum and drug-using jokes.
Damn it, Nick. How can you say that? There are children listening to this fuck-ass-damn-shit-piss.
There's just one kid who's just like, I'm gonna screw up my teachers tomorrow with all these words. it's really cold, and I'm thankful. I don't have us doing video for this. So I get to, like, wrap myself up in a robe and shit and try to keep my fingers warm, Essentially. And, tomorrow I won't have that luxury. So, like, midway through tomorrow, you might see me starting to sit, like, a fire on the side of my, like, just off camera and go with that.
Chris, I can't hear you anymore. Oh, it's because you used your headset for kindling.
Or yeah, I didn't have time, Nick. It's so cold. Why don't you just get gloves? Oh, I look lame.
Gloves that you can still use a mouse with are very difficult to use. They don't provide enough warmth.
I tried to do that earlier today, though, because I had to do some stuff, and I threw on a pair of gloves while I was working in here. Didn't work very well.
But it's very awkward to use normal gloves with a computer. It's even weirder to use, like, touchscreen gloves, because they don't always work.
No, and usually they're so bulky that I still don't feel like I have much intuit, like, you know, yeah, I don't have very intuitive control while using it. So I just end up feeling like, why did I pay money for these? What a product of the times we're in that just makes me feel sad. I can't not use my cell phone while it's cold out.
It did seem like a good idea when I got them, but no.
Yeah, how will I collect my biometrics in Marvel's Future Fight if I can't use my phone while it's cold out?
Turns out something that is meant to specifically conduct body heat and electricity also conducts the cold to my fucking fingertips.
Yeah, it's all very sad. We start this off with questions to each other, though, don't we?
Do we?
I think that's how we start it.
Okay, you go first. I'll try and think of something.
Nick, I was posed a thought by my sister recently, wherein that me and my brother both mentioned that the ending of Toy Story 3, not the exact ending, but, like, the scene where they're going down into the furnace, was a very emotionally kind of gripping one. And she's like, I would never hope, like, a significant other of mine ever announced that. What say you on strong men having emotions, Nick?
It's fine. I mean, strong men having emotions are some of the best parts of manga, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I mean, what, one of the reasons why Kenshiro was a badass is because it's okay for him to cry, you know? He cries manly tears and stuff.
I don't know if he cries manly tears because of Toy Story. A whole lot like fictionalized toys.
I hope that Woody and Buzz get outside of the dumpster soon.
Not so! Like, it's just him punching walls. Oh, that bear!
It's like, I'm sorry, I'm just, like, imagining the scene where, like, all the toys are in denial that Andy's going to give them up, and he's like, you are already in the attic. And so they're like, oh no, we're in storage!
Ah, it's all of them in a box crammed together, just the muffled screams coming from the attic, like, oh, this is really dark. I didn't mind it when Lotso put them into the furnace, at least they could accept their deaths in that scene. Which is such a heartbreaking fucking scene, it's like 8 toys coming together and accepting death. I'm like, Jesus, I haven't even accepted my own death yet. And like, 3 of these toys are fucking cowards. How is this happening?
I saw a Cracked video recently that was actually kind of interesting, because it proposed that if you look in that scene, there are no toys anywhere in the junkyard at all. Mm. And so they proposed that, because Sid makes a cameo as a garbage man in that movie, they proposed that as a garbage man, whenever he sees a toy that's been thrown out, he takes it out of the trash and makes sure that it's looked after by someone else, because he's the only person in the world who knows that toys are alive. So he makes sure that they don't die.
That would actually be very sweet.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that they that the creators have that in mind, but it is kind of something like, huh, I don't remember any toys being in the junkyard, come to think of it.
I feel like hypothesis theories from fans have made Disney movies, like the Pixar Disney movies, like 9 times deeper than they're actually meant to be. Like
the whole, all a connected universe, man.
Yeah, it's all been happening. The Cars universe is actually in the far future after Wall-E's universe has finally crumbled upon itself. And, like, good lord. It's too much work. I have trouble understanding if Creed is supposed to take place with the rest of the Rocky movies.
Really?
Well, I mean, it's tough. I'm like, come on, you once mentioned that fucking Apollo Creed died trying to fight the Cold War Russian. Never popped up in that movie. This is ridiculous. Okay.
Fuck, I still haven't thought of questions. Oh.
Chris, should we still have questions? What say you?
What part of my body should I cut off so that I can then eat it?
I was really worried of where the start of that question was going, and I suppose where it went is slightly better than where I was going. If you have to eat, like, a part of your body, like a chunk of your ass, I feel like would be the smartest part, right? I mean, probably like
it is all just, you know, muscle, meat, and fat.
So. Yeah, like it's, well, that's true. It's not going to be very delicious. You're not going to get a whole lot of nutrients out of it. But I feel like it's like the one part. Like, assuming you cut off like an equal part of each cheek, because you don't want to be lopsided when you sit down. That would be awful.
He's like, sit down. Oh, shit.
Oh, God, no. Falling out of your chair. Like, what happened? Like, I had to eat a chunk of my ass.
Are you just making up a lie so you don't have to tell me that your wallet is too thick for you to sit on because you're weird? No. Just ate part of my butt.
Yeah. It was very cold out. Have you ever known anyone that's had, like, a wallet that big? Like, I always think to that Seinfeld episode with George, where, like, his wallet's too huge, and everyone tells him that, and he's like, no, it's fine. And he, like, sees, like, an advertisement for free guitar lessons, and he, like, pulls the tab off and starts to, like, put it in his wallet, and it was just, like, it was the one thing that put it over structural integrity, and the wallet just explodes. And I know tons of people who have that same thing, where I'm like, one day you're going to put a free guitar lesson ticket in your fucking wallet, and it's just going to explode.
I don't think I've ever actually seen anyone do that. I don't really pay, I guess, very much attention when people take their fucking money out or something like that. But, no, I mean, like, I make a point to keep my wallet in my front pocket, and I don't keep too much in it that is, like, obtrusive. Plus, I have, you know, deep man pants pockets, you know?
Big, strong, like, man pants pockets. The ones that aren't afraid to cry in a sad movie.
By someone who was like, pockets were made for stuff to be put in, so these things go down to your, like, fucking kneecaps or something like that.
Very impressive.
Well, not really that, but...
You're like, I mean, that's what I'm
just like, there is room in my pockets for my fucking wallet, and it's weird, because, like, occasionally someone will bring it, it's like, oh, yeah, you gotta make sure, you know, not to have too much stuff in your wallet, because literally, like, it can fuck up your back if you sit on stuff, and I'm like, who sits on their wallet? Who would do that? People are weird!
Yeah, it's one of those things. I have seen people do it before, and I know it's, like, a thing you see, like, in media a lot, but I've always just put my wallet in my side pocket.
I guess we just associate with smart people, Chris.
Yeah, we're that 1%. We're just elite, I guess you could say.
I don't know. It seems like the elite would have the most trouble with their wallets because they're just constantly bursting with extra money.
Well, no, the elite don't carry cash.
Okay, so it's poor people who carry their life savings in their pockets.
Essentially, yeah. I don't carry cash anymore, and that's not to say I'm elite. I'm far from it, in fact, but. I don't know anybody who's, like...
What are you talking about, man? We make, like, 7 figures off of this podcast a month.
Yeah, once the advertisement deal with Sony kicks in, any day now, they're going to be like, hey, we'll sponsor a podcast about manga, which doesn't really have a lot to do with better games.
Now that Peyton Manning is starting to drop off, all of his commercial deals are going to us.
Yeah. So anyway, guys, weekly manga recaps on your side... We had to add a couple other, like, beats to it to make it flow, but it's still the same jingle.
Weekly Manga Recap is a very difficult title to actually fit to existing jingles.
But, you know, while you're thinking about how to do it, help yourself to some Papa John's. You know, you can get You can get the Oinker for like $10 this week, probably. I'm assuming, I don't know. The Oinker might be more expensive. No, I didn't have the Oinker
anymore. I don't even know what Papa John's menu items there are. So anyway, let's move on to talking about questions that people actually sent us. Things that people actually want to hear us talking about. And questions people have that we actually should be answering, as opposed to what parts of our butts. If someone sends in a question along the lines of what part of your butt would you eat in order to stay alive, then, well, now I've cursed it to happen.
I mean, yeah, it's going to happen at least once.
And we're not going to get to it until, like, April, and we're going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Oh, yeah.
That's the best part about being slightly behind and reading questions, is there's inside jokes we mentioned in one episode that people have put questions in since then that are responding to, that we're just like, what the fuck are you talking about?
So I guess we'll start with this question. We're going back into a little bit less than midway through November. Hopefully we'll make some headway through this stuff, but giving you guys a bit of heads up on how far into the backlog we're digging into. So we'll start with a question from Lebrano John. What are your thoughts on Kinemon becoming a Straw Hat? Personally, I've always found him to be the most worthless addition to the crew thus far, since he's done nothing outside the arc he was introduced in. There's nothing about him that is unique. Because he's a pervert like Sanji and Brook, he's a sword fighter like Zoro, he has a lame devil fruit power like Chopper. Hey, Chopper's devil fruit power is cool, man!
Well, Kinemon doesn't have a devil fruit power, does he?
Yes he does. He can turn stuff into other stuff, remember?
Can he?
He turns stuff into clothing, remember, for the kids?
Oh my god, that's right! Holy shit, I forgot about that lame-ass power!
Well, because he doesn't use it in combat at all. You know, he was just like, oh, I just have this ability that's occasionally useful, you know. And a half-serious, half-goofy persona like Frankie. None of that, but I seriously can't see how he could possibly contribute to the crew outside of adding these random side quests, such as finding his son, Kondro, and the ninja. Have your thoughts also changed on his candidacy for Straw Hat membership? I don't know if they ever actually changed. I guess we kind of talked about it when he first joined the crew, and also when we were doing all that stuff with, you know, it was like, oh, Bellamy, Bartolomeo. I think that he was probably like the fourth person we brought up.
Mm-hmm.
But he always has seemed like a temporary addition to the crew to me.
Yeah, I've never gotten the impression that Kinemon is becoming a Straw Hat. There's nothing to suggest he really will. He doesn't have a position that's needed in the crew. Luffy's never expressed particular interest in having him in the crew. We haven't gotten any flashback or anything.
He hasn't had a big fight.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's probably the closest to anybody, like Yosako and Johnny from way back in, like, the Arlong Park times, where it was just somebody who traveled with the crew.
I would put him between them and Vivi.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I won't put it on the same scale as Vivi, because Vivi had, like, a personality I guess similar kind of fighting style, in that you're like, oh, they do fight, I guess. But, I don't know, Vivi seemed to have a little bit more going for her, whereas Kinemon, I don't think is ever going to be like, they might go to Wano, and I guess he might be a focal character of that arc.
It's possible, yeah.
Yeah, at this point, I would just say no, I don't think there's anything like that going to happen, and I don't want him to become a Straw Hat, because he doesn't particularly seem all that interesting to me, but he may still get his time to shine. I guess.
Even if they do go to Wano and he ends up being a big deal there, I do think it's going to just be a Vivi situation where, you know, they acknowledge that they, you know, had some good times together, and then he's just like, well, bye.
Everybody holds up an arm with a fist and an X drawn on it, and everyone's like, holy shit, they stole that from Fairy Tail!
And they hold up their fists, and Kinemon's like, Momo, what are they holding up their hands for? Do you get it? I don't get it.
Do you have an X? Are they going to kill us? Alright. I got a couple questions here from Daros. He says, yo, your biggest fan Daros here. I believe you have to be... you have to prove your biggest fan. I feel like we need to put like some...
we're going to have to put you guys in the Gladiatorial Coliseum. Who is the biggest Wiggle Mike recap fan?
Yeah. His first question, what is a memorable place, Nick?
I have no idea what that means.
This is what I meant when I said long-ass questions. Like... memorable place was the name of the secret question that I had to figure out was Gay Street in that one story I told at the start of a podcast like 5 months ago.
Oh God, Jesus Christ.
So I guess that's the answer there.
I actually remember that now.
Number two, you compared my last batch of crossover specials to shit and piss, so this time I'm mixing sweet and sour. Which would you prefer? Cross-freezing. A former soccer player turned coach must head an academy of young women trained in the only skill able to thwart extra-dimensional aliens, lacrosse. The aliens show up like twice total, however, so the girls at the academy spend most of their time playing death lacrosse matches against each other and courting male limiters who use their freezing powers to make lacrosse more exciting by taking away all that annoying movement.
That sounds basically just cross-manage, but with superpowers thrown in.
Oh, actually, it sounds more like just freezing, but instead of fighting, it's the cross put in top of it.
It's hard to determine which it's more like, I guess. There's really not too much difference between the two, is there? It's just that one is way creepier and worse than the other.
Well, that's the first one to compare. This is the second one. Barrage Prison. Plucky young Bo Astro from the slums is a spitting image of the warden of a prison suspiciously located in the middle of a high school. When the actual warden is killed by some random sniper dude due to mistaken identity, Bo Astro assumes his position and is tasked with cleaning up a high school full of weirdly inappropriate sexual themes.
And you just could not get through
it. I couldn't get through it. Nick, I might be drunk. Or stroking. I don't want the two.
I've completely forgotten what the actual protagonist's name in prison school was. So I have no idea what the Boo Astro joke is. I know, you know, that, you know, obviously, I mean, it's... Wait, fuck. I've forgotten what... It was just Barrage.
Nick, are we both drunk?
Are you drunk?
I don't know.
But that actually seems actually like it could be pretty cool, honestly. Like, a guy who's got to... you know, head up a prison while dealing with all sorts of weird people, you know, kind of reverse the power dynamic in prison school. It would, I guess, probably end up being akin to like a harem comedy type of thing, but having it in that setting could lead to some potentially entertaining hijinks, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would have to be what the weirdly inappropriate sexual themes are, but
right.
Just on the fact that the main character, the only character we know about is a male, it might at least be less creepy at points, but at depends on how far it goes, but at least there's more of a plot to that one. Although cross-freezy does make me just laugh in the notion that it's like aliens show up twice and the rest of the time they're just playing the cross and being bitches to each other.
Right. You know, the inappropriate sexual themes thing, I mean, does that go on a scale like where like Nisekoi is like a 1, prison school is like a 10, fairy tales somewhere around a 7, and like, I don't know, like Televru's summer. I don't know if it's higher or lower than fairy tale, honestly. It's pretty bad when you guys think about like those the one harem comedy you can think of off the top of your head. It's like, is fairy tale worse about it than that?
I feel like I don't think so at the time, and then I catch certain chapters where I'm like, oh right, this is horrendous.
Fairy tale just does weirder stuff, but it doesn't do it as often as that one does. So.
Like, you read the Christmas chapter again, you're like, oh, this should be like a 9.
Yeah. Okay.
So, third question. Can Infamous Planet be bothered? He seems to claim otherwise. Nah, you really can't be bothered.
Yeah, can't be bothered.
And the last one. Oh, and Nick, when
I know,
can
that's
we
the last one. That's it. Let's move on to the next question. Okay.
Actually, said something here about eggnog rolling, so good for you, sir. Eggnog does roll. But I will note, there is no more eggnog that I can find. My stores have stopped carrying it. So I'm pretty bummed.
Alright, next from Froxy. Hello, Chris and Nick. Again, greetings from Ukraine. It is kind of funny how I asked about your review of Shokugeki no Soma right before it launched in US Jump, and about Bakugo's inconsistent character right before the arc centered on him started. Am I a prophet of some kind?
Is that find out with their questions.
Is that your first question? Yeah.
I may worship you. Who knows?
Anyway, questions. 1. Generally, American comics tend to be created by a writer and artist duo, but manga is the domain of solo authors. There are some exceptions like Soma, the Death Note guys, and some others, but mostly mangaka combine writer-artist functions. What model do you prefer, and what manga series do you think could be improved greatly by adding another writer or artist? I think that we talked about this issue recently. Or I guess I'm thinking of we suggested, you know, the idea of like one person doing writing, and then I think Shokugeki no Soma's artist being paired with someone else or something like that.
Something along those lines. So
I do think we answered a question similar to this one, but
I would just say I've started to prefer series that have a duo on them, and I kind of wish more series did. Not necessarily because I think they're made better, but I feel it definitely is a relief on both parties to not be responsible for both aspects of it. Like, at this point in time, I really wish World Trigger had an artist, like a dedicated artist on it, if only because it would mean less stress for Ashihara to have to deal with.
I think that's probably the main part of it, honestly, because, yeah. You know, both writing and drawing are tremendous tasks to undertake. Because writing is not just writing the story. You have to lay out the storyboard, and you have to do all of the research necessary to have your idea in mind. And so that's a lot of work to have to get that prepared. And then, of course, you know, just drawing stuff is just an incredibly long, painstaking process, even for one page, let alone a whole chapter every week. So, yeah, basically, I think that would be a good idea just for general strain. So, yeah, certain authors are just like, they're sick all the time, you know.
Or do they barely sleep? You're just like, good God, I don't want you to die when you're like 60 just because you read manga.
In terms of why American comics are different, I think it's just a matter of, well, two things. One, just the way the industry works, and two, they're colored. Mm. So you need someone extra to do it.
And I think that's just how they've always been, too. Like, I think it's almost like kind of a condition where there was always a writer. Well, I mean, I guess like the Jack Kirby, Stan Lee stuff, but Stan Lee wasn't an artist, was he?
No, he wasn't. He was an idea guy.
So I feel like that's just kind of like a way they've always sort of functioned. I'm not a comic guy, though, so I'm speaking from ignorance and assumption on this, admittedly.
I do think that a lot of the older comics were created by duos, though. So. Mm-hmm. Number two, what is the way you are reading manga? What devices are you using? Tablets, computers, or are you reading printed volumes? I use a tablet, but then again, I'm spending like 3 hours commuting from home to work and back every day. I'm sorry about that. Do you think there is a considerable difference in perception depending on these methods? For example, two-page spreads are not as effective on a tablet if because you need to turn it to see them and part of the impact is gone. You know, honestly, there are some cases where, like, full-page spreads are actually much more effective, though, if you're reading it one page at a time as compared to, you know, printed or, you know, with a two-page layout like the Shonen Jump website on a computer is. I think you have something there that there are some differences and stuff, and I know a lot of people, like, are, you know, if they read something, they have to, you know, be holding the pages in their hands. Some people don't care about it. Some people prefer to have it digital, you know, just in terms of convenience because you have to, you know, you can carry a lot more around with a lighter load and so on and so forth. I have always read manga on my computer. I do have collected volumes, but that tends to be my go-to method. And, you know, that's how I read Shonen Jump, is just pull it up on my laptop and flip through it that way.
Yeah, I read Jump pretty much through the PC. When it comes to volumes, I used to solely read from the collected volumes. That's how I got started reading manga, was buying or borrowing the Tonkoban from like quarters or from my friend.
It used to be that was the only way you could get a lot of manga.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of how I got started with it. And then for the most part, when I came to collecting, that's the only way I'd do it. And only within like the past year or so have I switched. I have a Kindle now and I get my manga through Amazon and then read it there, and that's exclusively where I collect my manga now, simply because I just don't have the space for it. I do sometimes miss the feeling of holding a book in my hand, but at other times I also just like the ease of being able to like lay down and read a book or read a chapter or something like that and not have any issues. And also just, I think the best part is just the convenience of being able to buy a volume at the moment I see it's out, or, you know, in a moment when I see it's out and I don't have to drive to a bookstore, see if they have the volume, go up and bring it, feel like I'm getting judged from a clerk who's just like, ugh, anime, manga, you're a nerd. God forbid there's a half-naked chick on the cover and I have to feel like I'm, like, buying pornography. And I'm like, no, they cook food. but no, I honestly really, I've come to really enjoy buying manga digitally. And that's my go-to method for it most times now.
All right.
Our next question here. Hey, Chris and Nick. I was listening to your Naruto retrospective, and Nick brought up his concern that Sasuke's popularity would go on to influence the creation of more characters adhering to a similar archetype. Thus far, have you noticed any notable imitators in manga since that act in immoral ways and since that... act in immoral ways and do questionable things while still being portrayed as cool. Have we seen characters act in immoral ways and do questionable things while being portrayed as cool, essentially? I haven't particularly noticed a large amount of characters like that. I think they exist, but not in the exact same way that the Sasuke role necessarily does. Looking at more of like the series that kind of operate now, there isn't one in Black Clover. You know, Yuno's not the same kind of thing as a Sasuke because he doesn't act in any moral ways. He's just kind of quiet. My Hero doesn't really have one. Bakugo's not exactly the same kind of character because I don't know if he's portrayed as cool. I don't see the hot-headed character being portrayed as cool. Sasuke had like a charm to it, you know, that kind of arrogance, where I think Bakugo is more blunt and direct, so it doesn't follow necessarily into the same archetype. Todoroki, I guess, would be the closest one to that, but he, again, doesn't follow the same thing. He's not really amoral. He's just kind of a little bit broken in a way. So I don't see it necessarily impacting Jump. I think maybe influences of Sasuke have gone around, because I definitely get influences of Sasuke in Todoroki, but I'm talking about the right guy too. Todoroki, the fire and ice guy. I'm not thinking of the chick from Food Wars, am I? Megumi? Too many fucking names in this series. But Todoroki, I think, is the closest one. He has influences of it, but he's not like the same sort of character. He's not, you know, that issue of being dislikable because he does shitty things to people, or he's arrogant and an asshole to everyone else. He's actually, from what we've seen, a pretty considerable person. But then again, Todoroki also seems to imitate Zuko from Last Airbender just the same, so it might kind of just be him. Second question here, while Nick's away.
I'm sorry, I'm back.
Oh, it's all good. Do you believe any new characters coming out in manga kind of are imitating Sasuke?
I'm worried that Yuno is going to just stay like him.
I don't see Yuno as being like
him. He doesn't seem like he's going to go bad and still be cool, though.
Mm. Is Yuno cool? I feel like that's a question I need to ask the fangirls.
He's supposed to be, is the thing.
I feel like I don't get enough feedback about myself to judge it. Like, I'm like, no, it's cool when guys cry in movies, right? And I'm like, just equally like, yeah, Yuno's a total loser, right? Like, nobody thinks he's cool, right?
And stuff that I've encountered in just, like, the past year or so, I don't think anything's really popped up where, you know, a character has done awful things that are portrayed as good, and people are like, oh yeah, that's so great and stuff, you know. At least in terms of mainstream shonen stuff. I'm sure that there are, you know, edgier kind of series out there that have done that, and, you know, seinen and stuff like that, but not that I can think of personally.
Maybe my Yuri would almost be the closest thing of just like a douchey
character. Yeah, I guess him.
Because I was trying to think, I was like, what's like a series? Because to have a Sasuke, it needs to be a series that's probably not written very well. And I feel like most series in Jump right now are written better, or at least the series we get experience to. So, that would probably be the closest, I guess. And the second question here is, did we get a chance to see the Boruto movie when it hit theaters in the U.S.?
Nope.
No.
We'll watch it eventually, probably, considering we're making that more of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, next question from Anne. Hi, Chris and Nick. My questions are, would either of you ever visit Japan? If so, what would you do? I can imagine you two having some pretty wacky adventures together over there.
I would certainly love to visit Japan. If money is no cost in the issue, I would absolutely love to visit Japan. I think it'd be a very cool place to visit. I'd kind of just like to see the culture. You know, I have a perception of it in my mind, but there's a lot of locations over there I've heard about that seem very, you know, just cool and interesting to see. I'd love to see, like, Shibuya. You know, see the Hachi statue, kind of like all those locations you just see represented in, you know, Japanese media a whole lot. Like, to try the food. I watched Lost in Translation recently, and I was like, holy shit, I do like 80% of the things in here. I think it'd be super awesome, and I like the notion that it's like us going together to get into wacky hijink adventures.
We, like, just do our own, like, hangover movie or something.
Like, Nick, we woke...
Just the first one!
We woke up in Japan! Oh, my God! And I have a bomb strapped to my wrist that's gonna go off in 24 hours unless we get back to America!
And then Helms had something weird happen to his face! Again!
Whoa!
It's just like the first time this happened.
It could
probably be fun, but yeah, like you said, cost could be an issue. Honestly, I do think that the most hilarious part would just be us trying to bumble our way around because we don't know how to get around.
Don't know how to go around, don't speak Japanese. God forbid I have to even try to. I'm like, One Piece?
One Piece. Oh, that's great.
Buy One Piece. You give me One Piece. Desu, One Piece! Like, I'm screaming at people. Domo Arigato, One Piece! Like, hitting people with bags and shit. They're like, I speak English.
Well, from what I understand, it's not as common to speak English in Japan as some media makes it out to be. But I do think that we would be better off, you know, ending up in Japan not knowing Japanese than, you know, say, some South American country not knowing Spanish /Portuguese. Second question. On a short, unrelated note, Chris, your latest SLB... Oh, this isn't a question. It was a two-part question that we answered. Okay. There's just a note here. Your latest SLBS episode at the time, La Familia, was your guys' best one. Yeah, your family stories are awesome to listen to, and I admire how close you all are.
Thank you very much, and that means a lot. It was a very special episode for me. It's one I'm very proud of, and if you're going to listen to one episode, it's the one I'd recommend. So thank you for listening. I'm glad you enjoy it.
I just think of La Familia, and I just think that on the wrestling podcast I do, we just got to the introduction of La Familia.
Who is La Familia?
Edge and Vicky Guerrero.
Oh, right. Oof, good God.
I thought it was good.
I think that's around the time I stopped watching.
Okay.
Question here. Dear Weekly Manga Recap, you guys are great, and I have a question. Would you rather live in a world where Bleach and Fairy Tail are on a level of greatness like One Piece and World Trigger, but in that world, One Piece and World Trigger are terrible?
I was with you up until that last part.
I mean, like, I was... The question is essentially being, like, would you rather enjoy Bleach or Fairy Tail over One Piece or World Trigger? And in that scenario, I think the themes and the worlds of One Piece and World Trigger... The themes of those two series and the settings I'm just going to enjoy more, that I don't think even if Bleach and Fairy Tail were super amazing, like if I knew that alternate timeline existed where World Piece and World Trigger are great, I'd be like, why aren't I there?
I mean, I would love for Bleach and Fairy Tail to be great. I would. But I'm not giving those two up. You know, you said World Peace, and I just think it's like the other one would be One Trigger, which actually sounds pretty badass.
One Trigger.
Next question. If you could eat a full course of the things that appeared in Toriko, what would it be? Oh no, another list question.
I'm going to tell you this right now, though. I cannot complete this because I don't remember enough food items from...
Right.
I'd eat the mammoth steak, or the mammoth meat. Jewel meat, that was what it was called.
Yeah.
The jewel meat would be on there because I do enjoy that. There was a soda pop I think they made.
Mm-hmm.
That probably might not be bad. I don't even drink soda anymore, though, so maybe I wouldn't do that. Rainbow fruit, I guess, would be cool.
I would definitely have rainbow fruit on there. That just seemed... The way that it was described, where it was just like, as you're eating it, you get a different taste, even after you've swallowed it, it's settling in your stomach. It's like, oh, it's so good.
And I guess the century soup probably be the last one. The one that, like, you just start drooling uncontrollably.
Right.
Yeah, fuck it. I'm gonna eat, what was it? Pear? Become a chick for a little bit. That'd be pretty cool, right? There, I've got a full course meal. They're like, no, you don't. You have a soup, steak, and soda, and bullshit. I don't even know what pear's supposed to be.
Honestly, the food in Food Wars, I think, seems more delicious to me than the food in Toriko.
Yeah, well, the food in Food Wars is, you know,
real
food. It's stuff I could make or buy, whereas I'm never going to get to try jewel meat.
Next up.
Question here from Wolf. I know this is a weird way to start the email, but I ship Natsu and Erza. To me, they have more chemistry compared to the love interests. And now I'm on to the question. That was a weird way to start this.
I disagree with you.
This follow-up question better be like, I ship things, and they're crazy. Could you help me with this? If you guys had the chance to interview a manga character or characters on a weekly manga recap, who would you choose? It could be one person, a group, or a whole cast of the manga. What questions would you ask them? Maybe even some jokes while you guys are doing the recap portion. So basically, we take a manga character and make them like a guest, essentially, on Weekly Manga Recap, or a group of characters. Mm-hmm. Who would you pick?
I would go with Haruma, not just because he's my favorite character, but because that episode will be entertaining as shit. You can just imagine just like the whole episode, just him like cockily insulting us while explaining it.
Yeah, I would assume he'd just berate us the whole time. It'd be like, oh, this is so sad after 40
minutes.
We'd be
trying to find out things about him, and he would somehow divert the question by insulting us. So, what is with that whole thing with your dad? Like, did you ever, like, reconcile? Who is your father, by the way? Listen here, you fucking nerd!
Did
you and Mamori ever
hook up? Like, is it official that you two are dating?
What about the fucking manager? Why you got so interested in her for, you fucking pervert? But no, I was just kind of, because, you guys went to the same school together, and it's like, you're my business, my fucking business! Shut the fuck up!
I pulled up your Google search history. I'm like, this podcast is over, click. I think I'd pick Frankie from One Piece, because if you're looking for somebody who's just going to be, like, crazy enthusiastic on the show, like, just passionate and full of, like, excitement, that's, like, the number one dude. Like, he'd be the dude, like, getting on board with all of our jokes and just, like, enjoying, like, a really good chapter too. He's like, oh, it's so awesome, Soma beat him because of chicken stock!
And I think that, yeah, he would probably be into, like, everything that we would be doing. Not just, like, for his portion, but for, like, all the manga and stuff. He seems like he would actually, read the manga.
Yeah. He'd be very silly, too. Yeah. So I think I'd dig that. And it'd be interesting to ask the questions. Be like, who is your dad? And he's like, I don't know. It's kind of a mystery to me, too.
He's just, like, a total bummer the entire rest of the podcast. Why'd you have to bring that up?
Man? He's like, I don't know him, thanks. I'm like, is Puffing Tom really dead? I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. Asshole. Yes, he's dead. You've ruined a great episode.
Who do you think should join the Straw Hats? What do you think of Bellamy?
Do you think that Bartolomeo should join the Straw Hats? Would you give up your position to let Bartolomeo win?
What? No.
Throw Robin off the boat.
Are you and her kind of maybe a thing?
Yeah, is it because you're both old and close to death, so you're just kind of pairing up with whoever
like
you can?
We're like 30.
He's like, you're almost as old as I am. I'm like, no, I'm almost as old as Robin. I'm not almost as old as you. You're like 38. Thank you very much. So yeah, that Frankie.
Two very different answers, really. All right, next question is from Lebrano John again. Hey, Chris and Nick, I recently heard that in an interview with Kishimoto, Orochimaru eventually outlives all the characters in Naruto and basically gets what he wants, despite being an awful, awful human being. So with that in mind, who doesn't deserve a happy ending the most, Mayuri or Orochimaru? Let's go with Mayuri for this, for not deserving one more, because Orochimaru at least made the motion of repenting, and he did kind of help the good guys in the end.
He stopped being a horrible person.
He actually changed.
Yeah.
Mayuri has not changed from the first time we saw him, like, at all. He has not done anything selfless at all.
The closest thing you could say is that he was nice to, what's his daughter? Nemu. But that's still, like, a very...
He cared about Nemo because contained. He was possessive of her and proud of his accomplishment as a scientist.
Yeah. It's still a very contained change. I mean, like, he's still not a nicer person to anyone around him. He's still an asshole to the members of his unit. He's still kind of performing unnecessary experiments on people without their permission. Like, he's still pretty much a fucked up dude.
The best thing you can say about him is that he does his job as a member of the court guards, but that's really it. Yeah. Orochimaru, got to a point where he stopped being a dick, I guess. And he did end up having somehow a son that ends up being in the Bolt universe. So,
yeah.
So yeah, Mayuri. They're both pretty damn awful, but in terms of the way that the characters are portrayed, I would say Orochimaru deserves it a bit more.
Fair enough. Although it is kind of a bummer, like, he lives forever, or at least outlives everyone else in the series. Like, Jesus, it's such a bummer.
Yeah.
Even Shino? They're like, yes.
Yes, Shino. Bugs like, don't make you live longer if they're stuck in your body.
They're like, there's so many characters who have long vitalities that you could have gone with. And why is Shino the one you're most offended he outlives? Like, I don't know. It just seemed like the two of them didn't like each other, and it would have been poetic for Shino to outlive him. I don't think they ever met. I haven't read Naruto. Next question here is from Polakowski. He says, if you could have a manga in some other manga's hands, which manga and in whose hands would you place it in? You could pick from any manga, be it dead or not, and this isn't just taking the idea and giving it to another manga, mangaka. I mean, in the sense that if you want to, you took the manga, characters, general world concept, and gave its control of its story to one mangaka and the art to another. So essentially, we could take a series, have a new writer on it, and a new artist on it as well.
Right, so the example they give is like to take Iron Knight and give it to Ashihara of World Trigger, because it's like, oh yeah, there's a lot of potential that kind of got squandered and stuff. And that series, if you aren't familiar with Iron Knight, I mean, it was basically one of the many, many, many Jump series out there that tried to be the next big action thing and ended in less than 20 chapters. Just didn't catch on. Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting way of looking at it, because it's something that where, you know, you can play around with a bunch of different ideas, like, Ashihara is very good at portraying the combat in World Trigger and stuff, so, yeah, it's a good idea. Any series is a bit of a tough one, though, because there are a lot of manga that I go, like, oh, this could be better. This could be better. Honestly, like, Fairy Tail could be a lot better, if you had just a few different tweaks to it, you know? Someone who is more patient about, you know, portraying their story and stuff like that. I'm not saying, like, Oda patient, but, you know. And that is something that I think that could probably be a really, really good manga if you just tweaked it a little bit and took out the hero elements, really.
Not sure
who I would give it to, though.
I would say take Naruto.
Really?
And give it to Ashihara. Because I feel like Naruto's greatest strength was in that moments, where in the moments where it recognized it could be, it had a world that was more serious than just being like a generic shonen kind of battle series. Like those opening chapters when they're like people die in these missions, that's not always fun. Like those moments I feel like Ashihara gets, and I feel like he could actually add a lot to the strategy elements that were present early on in early Naruto, and he'd have a better supporting cast than necessarily what Kishimoto wrote for some of them. As for an artist, though, that was a little bit harder for me, because no one's popping into mind right away. I don't have an author right in mind, but yeah, Kishimoto to Ashihara, I think that might be an interesting transition.
All right, we have another email from Polakowski. Did you know that Marvel did a small project that attempted to simulate manga? They did it back in 2003. It was called the Tsunami Project, and it was a mixed bag. The idea was to attempt to appeal to manga readers by imitating ideas, plot, and style from manga. Only a handful of the comics they did were good. It was somewhat saddening, but ultimately expected, because it was obvious that they were not true manga readers. My question is, with the fact that some manga have taken the superhero aspect that Westerns are well known for, such as One Punch Man, My Hero Academy, should comic books try again? Manga authors have taken the concept of superheroes and done well with it, so do you feel that Western comic book writers should try again? Megas XLR did show we could parody the giant robot fighting style in most Japanese media quite well, so should we do more? I think that people are doing that more than you think, honestly. There are a lot of different, especially animated shows, that take a lot more from manga and anime than might be immediately obvious. Steven Universe is a show that's very popular right now. You can see, like, anime influence all the fuck over that thing.
Sailor Moon, from the very beginning, you know, with everyone having, like, transformation forms and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a lot of ways, actually, it is very kind of magical girl, but just with a stupid 8-year-old boy in the middle of it. I've been watching Steven Universe with my girlfriend. I like the show. Steven himself is kind of a little idiot, though. He's just a lovable dork, basically. I don't know if it's necessary for, you know, comic book authors to try again, you know, and make a definite conscious effort to do it and launch a big project or whatever. I think it's just going to kind of happen naturally every now and then.
Yeah, I think also, too, we've reached a point where, because of the internet, because of the Reddit, I can't talk today, Nick. I might be having a stroke from the cold. The readily available ability to see these kind of media from all over, I feel like the influences are going to be melded into the series a lot more subtly than maybe they were before. I mean, Megas XLR was very obviously inspired by a mech series, and they had, like, episodes with a whole Sailor Moon theme and with a whole, you know, Power Rangers theme, where you're like, obviously.
I fucking love that Power Rangers episode.
All of them are great.
Just yanks their robots onto his arms and legs.
But I feel like, you know, as it is now, those influences are still there. As you said, you know, in Steven Universe, things like that, they're just a bit more kind of less obvious, I guess, or less direct, you know? You may not notice them immediately.
I think that things have just kind of mixed more to the point where it's a little bit more difficult to actually tell them apart. And, you know, mm-hmm. You know, the two have been influencing each other for long enough that there's started to be this kind of mix between them.
And there are still a series that I'm trying to remember what the name of it is. There is, I think, a comic book line that is still heavily inspired on a kind of going for like a Japanese aesthetic or things like that. I can't remember what the line's called. I feel like it's like Avengers: The Initiative or something like that. But that's like a series where like War Machine looks like he's drawn like a giant Japanese-style mech and things like that. Like, I think maybe the ones you're looking for are still there. I just don't know if maybe they'll do, like, because there was the Marvel manga line or the DC manga line for a little bit. I don't know if they'll necessarily do that again, but the influences are still there.
Mm-hmm. That kind of seems kind of gimmicky to me, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not writing with any kind of good story to it, and the only reason to buy it is because, like, look, Iron Man looks so desu-desu! I'm like, no, it's... Come on now, I'm not a child. Question here from MW. Actually, a couple questions here. If when the Patreon campaign hits the Air Gear goal, are there any ideas for future ones?
People have been suggesting other series that we could set as goals and stuff, but... We haven't settled on any yet, so.
And there's also the idea that we have goals in mind that aren't related to, like, special episodes or something like that. We have, you know, kind of other ideas in mind that we want to. There's some that we actually have decided upon, too. I just haven't put them up because I don't want to put up too many daunting goals.
Right.
I want to kind of, like, let it, you know, work up towards one, and as we get close, announce, like, the next one and things like that. So, there are ideas for future ones. That says, Chris, every time I see your handle, Roll OT, it makes me feel of Roll Out the Pokemon Attack. Has that thought ever occurred to you, or is it just me? No, not exactly. I get a lot of people being like, is your name based off the candy? And I'm like, no, because that only has one L in it. You're crazy. I've heard that before. I know there's, like, I think a city in France called, like, Rollout. There's, I think, like, a cheese called Rollo Cheese or something like that.
Jeez.
No, I never really thought of Rollout before, though. I guess it makes sense. Rollo T, I always thought it's like a gibberish phrase. Strangely, it's taken on a lot of fucking websites when I go to sign up. So, yeah, I feel like people are furious that I got it on Twitter. Because I go to a lot of other places typing Rollo T, they're like, that name's already in use. I'm like, how?
Meanwhile, no one in their right mind would ever want Y Ruler of Time, so...
No. It probably doesn't even fit into the character limit on most websites. They're like, what is this, 20 letters? You're crazy. This isn't a tweet.
It's 12.
You're like, well, I can't count. Anyways. Last one. Why, on a scale from 1 to 10, how mad does it make you when people ask, when can we expect the next red light to left?
like a 2. It's not anger, it's just annoyance.
Mm. You made right. Nick sad.
All right, next question is from Andre. Week of my recap, do you guys love to talk about how One Piece villain groups are great and memorable, and I wonder what other series villain groups have impressed you? I love villain groups. Big, you know, ominous, dark, shadowy room filled with a circle of people in it. I love the Espada, love the Akatsuki. You know, anything that, you know, makes a group of villains out to be a super big deal and then follows up on it, I always love that. Spriggan 12, you made sure to right away be like, well, you know, there was that one time that Fairy Tail introduced this one group and then immediately made them out to be, like, total chumps twice. So I held off on getting excited over them, but, you know, the way that they've been developing recently, it's pretty good. I'm looking forward to actually seeing if, you know, they can all be big deals and stuff. Aside from that one desert guy.
Yeah.
A little bit late for him.
A jail! I love villain groups, too. Like, one of my favorite things in manga, like the shameless stuff I just have a guilty pleasure fanboy moment over, is when they do that really cool, like, villain council setup shot. Like, the scene in Bleach where you saw all of the Espada sitting at the table for the first time, you get your first look at them. Like, those kinds of moments are always really cool, and I dig those. There's a couple groups I like. I can't remember the name of them. The Rival Family, though, in Hitman Reborn, I actually remember liking. The ones who had, like, the Rings of Earth or whatever the weird concept was for them. But I remember them actually being, like, kind of an interesting group that actually had some pretty good fights and stuff like that early on. Who else has, like, really good villain groups to them?
While you're trying to think of that, I remember one of my favorite scenes from one of the Super Friends series, which were on all the time on Cartoon Network when I was a kid, was like the first episode of the season where they actually had the Legion of Doom, where they just go around the room introducing all the different villains while they're just sitting there and stuff. It's just one of those scenes that just stands out to me where they're just like, and this is Solomon Grundy, who's really strong, and this is Chitara, and this is the Riddler, who keeps on telling the Super Friends our plans.
Why is he here? What are your powers?
I remember, a slight tangent, there was a website a humor website that did a power ranking on all the members of the Super Friends and Legion of Doom, and they made a rule that no one could be a 1 other than Aquaman, because Aquaman is totally fucking useless. So what they did with the Riddler was they made him a -2, which makes him a 2 for the Super Friends. He is more useful to the Super Friends than Aquaman while he's a member of the Legion of Doom. Because wow. He tells them what they're doing.
It's like, what's your gimmick? I leave them clues on how to stop me if they solve riddles.
Riddler's not a very good guy to team up with, okay?
Like, you're an asshole, Riddler. Why are you here? There's so many good Batman villains, and we chose you.
Riddler's a great...
Joker begged us! Begged us to join!
Riddler's a great solo villain if he's just confronting Batman because of their dynamic and stuff. But yeah, put him with a team of people and just like, why am I working with you? You're just telling them our plans. God damn it. Fuck you. Anyway, you were saying?
No, I couldn't think of any that directly came to mind. I guess maybe like the Eye Shield characters, some of the villain groups there were kind of cool. Like the other teams, when you got to meet them for the first time.
Yeah, I really liked the gimmicks of the teams in Aisha 21, and they all felt very different from one another.
That's like the question we need to get, like, what were your favorite Eye Shield teams? Like,
we'll save that one then. I'll hold on to that answer. We gotta get four months later. Like you said on your on the last Q&A episode,
it's like 4 questions in a row from people too. We're like, oh right, just kind of threw that out there. Didn't really think this one through, did we? Yeah. Is it my question?
What question were we on?
That was yours. So this one is mine. And hey, Rollo and Y Roller Time, Patreon viewer suggestion here for you guys. Oh. What?
Okay. Okay. No.
I was like, did I miss something in the last one? Like, yes, the secret underneath email. You just lift up your screen. I'm like, oh. What if you guys did some commentaries for the actual Digimon episodes going off your shared love of the series? It could be a good go-to if you need movie suggestions or something like that. Plus, it's a good excuse to just see the whole adventure story again.
That's a good idea. Yeah. I like that. Maybe we'll do that sometime.
Instead of doing movie commentaries, we do commentaries on like 3 or 4 episodes like that. Yeah, no, I could definitely dig it. It'd be interesting. Get to Puppet Monarch and just be bitching for like 14 minutes. Like, it's so long! There's so many episodes! And he sucks the whole way through! With this Metal Enemon bullshit, who cares?
I haven't seen that series in a long time. It could be fun to go back to it. That's a good idea. I like that. Thank you for the suggestion. Next, from Joshua. 2 questions. What action manga would you like to see turn into a video game? You can choose the genre. Or, if you can't think of one, is there a shonen battle series that lends itself to a video game with character creation? For the first question, I would like to see a Negima fighting. I feel as if there is any shonen battle series that would make for remarkably easy character creation, it's World Trigger. Because, you know, you pick out your... You could have something for, like, your side effects, and then there are a limited number of trigger options, but they can have specials for, like, combining them or using them, or techniques to use them in unique ways, and so on and so forth. But being that they are, you know, an army, an armed force, then there would be a limited number of options, and it would probably be pretty easy to create a character. So I think that would work the best out of all the stuff that immediately comes to mind.
I've been playing Xenoblade Chronicles X recently, and it's actually very close to kind of feeling like a World Trigger game. Because it is in that sci-fi field, and then you kind of get to create your own character, you get to pick your kind of class you go with, and you have, like, the melee classes, the ranged ones, you know, the ones that do more, you know, kind of, like, magical effects and things like that. So it's not, like, a complete one-for-one, but it does kind of have a little bit of that feeling to it when you're set up with a squad of characters and things like that. I think a game that would definitely work very easily for a character creation would be Beat the Vandal Buster, because that series essentially felt like a video game just written into a manga. I mean, there was literally experience points built into the manga that, like, every time you killed monsters, somehow, like, the monster dude just knew how many you killed, and it's like, here's more experience points for you, ding, ding, ding. So that series, I think, would work for it rather well. And it's almost a little topical to bring that up, because I don't think we've mentioned on the show yet, but Beat the Vandal Buster is apparently actually coming back in, I don't think it's Jump, you know, Standard. It's one of the offshoot magazines or something like that. But it's coming back off of being on hiatus for...
long time.
12 years or so. So I'm super excited about that. I'd love to see a continuation of the story. I would absolutely love it if it ran in our Jump, or we at least got to get, like, a translation of those of the chapters that come out to basically at least just get through the end of the series and kind of finish it, because I remember it's one of the first series I kind of read when I first started buying Tankobon, so that series would really work for it, I think.
We got some good suggestions from the chat. Karito and Replica Rabbit both suggested World Trigger, like I did. Karito Prime suggested My Hero Academia, which I think would be great. City of Heroes style game, but, you know, just with a bit more of a Japanese setting, maybe have a bit of a an academy theme surrounding it. And I like the one, my favorite, though, it comes from MRD, which is Mr. D, sorry.
It's Little Dan.
I know. It was all in all lowercase, so I didn't recognize him immediately. Oh, wait, it's Mr. D. Shit. who said One Punch Man, but it's The Sims, which is a great idea.
So you have untold power, but all you do is decide whether or not you want to watch television or go out to the grocery store.
Right, occasionally a monster attacks and you just kind of click on it, he punches it and goes back to his tank.
Oh, that's great. You're, like, making sure a band, like, Frankenstein gets out of your ass, like, get out of here. Like, some giant, like, crab monster just gets knocked into the ocean. Then you go back to being like, should I drink beer or go back to painting?
Yeah. That is a great idea. I love it. Okay, yeah. Your question next?
There's actually a second part to this. Have you ever watched Death Battle or One Minute Melee? If so, which characters would you like to see in a Death Battle or One Minute Melee? I have seen one episode of Death Battle, I think it is. I think Death Battle is the one where they just pit two characters against each other and then, like, kind of do an animation to show it. I saw the Goku versus Superman one. I know there's a second part to it that I didn't watch. Because like, that was like the episode. I was like, holy shit, Superman's annoying his fucking crushed black holes in his hands is bullshit. I've not heard of One Minute Melee before, but I have known of these like character versus character fights before. Way back when I was in high school, there was a website for it called like Electric Eel or...
Electric Ferret.
Electric Ferret, that was it. And that was where they
picked people. That was a great site.
Yeah, it was where they pit people against each other, and there were, like, votes for it, and whoever won, then it would, like, a description be written up for how the fight would go. And there were some actually really cool fights that I remember.
I think my favorite one was there was, like, a analysis between Yoda and Xavier, you know, the X-Men.
Oh, okay.
And then they just, so they go into, you know, the arena, and they stare each other down, and it's like, and the battle's begun! They just stare at each other, and suddenly Yoda collapses and turns his wheelchair around and goes and walks and rolls away.
Everyone's like,
"Well, I guess that's it. The mental battle has been finished."
Yeah, there were some good ones to that. What manga characters do I like to see in a battle like that? I'm trying to think of like.
I'm just thinking I want to go play Jump All Stars now.
That is fun as shit. I like to see like Zoro versus Kenpachi. I think that would be a kind of a cool fight. I feel like it would be almost unanimous that Kenpachi would win just because like Zoro, as crazy strong as he is still grounded in a reality, whereas Kenpachi's like, I'm an ethereal, otherworldly, like angel swordsman essentially.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of puts him head and toes over, but actually, let's go with Zoro versus King Bradley, then. That's someone, I think, like on the same similar level that could make for an interesting fight.
Yeah, he's one of your go-to badasses.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty sweet fight between them.
I like that idea. I'm seriously just stuck on... I feel like playing Jump Ball Stars.
This is a really fun fucking game.
Why think of what manga characters I could have fighting when I could just play a game about it?
Yeah, it's like you back in like 1996. Like, man, wouldn't it be fun if I could? Who would win between Yoshi or Kirby? And like, I pop it around. I'm like, hey there, Nick. And you're like, who are you? I haven't met you yet. And I'm like, shut up. Give me your N64. And I just slap in Super Smash Brothers. And you're like, whoa! Like your eyes popping out of your head, like, bong, bong.
It's amazing how much people have taken for granted, like, you know, like, oh, I don't know if they deserve to be in Smash Brothers, when, yeah, like, 20 years ago, we'd be like, would it be great if we could have, like Link and Pikachu fight each other or something?
Holy shit, Captain Falcon!
Like, who the fuck is Captain Falcon?
I mean, I love the Super Smash Bros. Series, but, like, for reals, there's too many Fire Emblem characters, Nick.
Who the fuck is... I can't remember. I can't even remember any.
There's the new one they just introduced, who's from a game that isn't even out yet.
The fuck, really?
Yeah. Like, he does Corinne. It's going to be slightly different, because, I mean, it's slightly to promote the new game. And the character's different enough that, like, they turn into a dragon sometimes. But it's like, come on. There's so many fucking Fire Emblem characters.
How many people with a cape and a sword can you throw into this goddamn game?
Yeah. Especially when you're like, oh, man, we definitely need Marth. And Roy is DLC. Like, I don't think we... And Lucina is a clone of them. Like, I love Lucina.
And Robin. And Ike.
Robin, again, at least Robin's different. And Ike's at least, like, it's a power version of them. But it was right. Like, oh, good God, man. This is ridiculous.
And then they've added a sixth one, then.
Yeah.
I guess they could be like, but there's so many Mario characters. All the Mario characters are different from each other, though.
Yeah, and at least they're like, yeah, the Mario characters are like, yeah, there's different universes too, though, within that, like, you know, I don't even consider Donkey Kong a Mario character anymore, like,
no, he's got
Wario isn't really, he's got his own games he does.
Well, you know, but it's like Mario, Luigi, Peach, Bowser.
Rosalina. I guess Bowser Jr.
Yeah, so six right there, and then you could be like, well, and also kinda, sorta, Yoshi and stuff. Yeah, it's like, but they're all different from each other.
Except for Mario, Luigi, and then Dr. Mario, but yeah.
Well, even Luigi has, like, his own stuff go on a lot of the time, but yeah.
This is where we get, like,
Look, alright, that's enough. My whole point of this initially was, like, people complaining about having too much in the game, whereas now it's just, yeah.
That's what we've done.
Yeah, there we go. Next question. This is from Andre again. Dear Relotian, why the ruler of time? I love listening to your podcast and enjoy your witty banter and also tangents into random unrelated topics. That just be adding that.
he nailed us.
I unfortunately don't read manga, but watch anime that come with good filler arcs like Fairy Tail and One Piece. I'll take your word for it. But some anime filler arcs ran a bit too long, like Bleach's. What is your opinion on non-canon material? It can be good! You actually bring up Bleach negatively there, but the very first filler arc of Bleach, with the Bound, was actually, I remember at the time talking with my friends about it, and they said, oh no, it's actually above average for filler. And filler can take many different forms, honestly. Filler can be having your episodes only contain 18 minutes of content, like One Piece. Or it can be with Goku holding his hands up to charge the Spirit Bomb for 8 hours. So, you just creating new content, honestly, there's potential there, you know, when you create a new story and stuff. And you can say, like, oh, it's not as good as the original. Well, yeah, but you're going to get the story just at the same rate as if they were doing something else anyway.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you might get something that's absolutely awful as filler, and that sucks. But generally speaking, I'd rather get something that may or may not, that something that has the chance to be good and at the same time, than the regular stuff, the stuff that's official material, comes out in a more fluid, natural pace. You know, I'd rather not see episodes stretched out just to get every last second they can drip or wring out of a chapter of One Piece. You know, like, hold on, there's one panel that's just the background, so we'll hold on that shot here in the anime for 15 seconds because we need to fill some time. You know, stuff like that I'd be perfectly fine with. And you mentioned there are some good filler arcs out there.
Yeah, the Virtual World arc in Yu-Gi-Oh! Is actually very entertaining and does a lot to develop Kaiba's character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are stupid parts to it, of course. Stupid parts to
the penguin deck taking over bodies. Tristan's a robot monkey.
Tristan's a robot monkey.
Serenity has a duel.
I love how that's on the list of offenses. Serenity duels.
This is bullshit.
Honestly, Tristan dueling, I have a bigger problem with.
Tristan has a deck now.
Tristan had a deck, what? Wait a minute. So, Tae and Yugi went to see a stage show featuring Dark Magician Girl in a dream of hers? Oh, God. Yeah.
All right. Question here from Jez. Says, have either of you guys seen Bennett's show Anime Abandoned? He did an episode on the sequel series to Ape Man, this really famous superhero manga anime from the 60s. I realized after watching it that Ape Man was created by Kazumasa Harai, the guy who wrote both Wolf Guy and the dumb Japanese Spider-Man manga. When I listened to your episodes on those, I was wondering why they gave the projects to Harai, and I guess that would explain it, since he wrote a famous superhero thing. Ape Man seems pretty okay, though, so I know I'm asking you to guess, but do you think he fell on his head between projects? Would you ever consider reading Ape Man and seeing whether there is anything in that that foreshadows the weirdness in his later mangas? It's actually interesting you bring up Ape Man, because on a recent episode of Super Larius Brothers, I was talking with my brother about old cartoons and things like that, and we got to talking about, like, Huckleberry Hound and all those, like, older shows, and I was like, oh, man, they were just so brutal, they were so unfunny, there was no plot to them, they were just terrible, I can't stand them. And my dad listens to the podcast, obviously, and he texted me up, like, fuck you, Huckleberry Hound was great. And he started listing all these shows, and one of the ones, he's like, you can't believe you didn't like Ape Man. I was like, I've never even heard of Ape Man. He's like, you have failed your manga knowledge. And I was pretty bummed out. I was like, oh, my dad's schooling me on manga. He doesn't even actually know what it is. So I actually would be very interested to read Ape Man and see what it's kind of all about, because apparently, you know, the dubs of it came over to America at some point. My dad watched it way back in the day. So I think it'd be kind of interesting to see it in that regard.
Would be nice to see something good written by that guy.
I'd be so disappointed in my dad, though, if I read Ape Man and it's just as awful as Spider-Man and Wolf Guy. Like, it's full of just as much, like, god-awful mean characters and horrible shit. cyclical rape cycles. You're like, oh my god, Dad, why? He's like, well, there was only three channels back then. What do you want me to do?
Someone did eventually point out to us that the Wolf guy that he wrote was actually the original, and we had read the remake.
Ah, okay.
But somehow I get the impression that there is not a tremendous difference in quality between the two. Considering. Also, I accidentally called Kazumasa Hirai Kazuchika Okada. It's one of my favorite episodes to go back and listen to, and it's also one of the visual editions I watch a lot. So whenever I talk about Kazuchika Okada, suddenly, you know, the wrestler shows up. Oh god, he's gonna dropkick me in the face. Okada is amazing, by the way.
Just a second question. In a similar vein, do you guys ever watch slash maybe like as a guilty pleasure bad 80s, 90s manga or anime?
No.
Yes, but I haven't watched it in a while. I love the crap out of Ronin Warriors. Because that was the first thing I ever watched that was related to anime. It's first, I think, from Japan I digested it. It ran way back in the day, probably on like ABC or something like that, very early in the morning. I think I was like 6 when it started to come out. And it was essentially like animated Power Rangers, like a bunch of dudes who transformed into fucking like armored samurai and fought like other dudes who transformed and got like samurai armor outfits with special powers. And it was the coolest shit as a kid. There was like, they had a tiger as a friend, like all this wacky stuff. And I'm 100% positive. I watch it now, I'm like, this is going to be god-awful. But I still think I would enjoy the crap out of it just because it's so nostalgic. So to that degree, I certainly could. I definitely dig it. Also, obligatory, sure. Nick, when will the next red lights of Right to Left be?
I'm going to kick you guys in the face, I swear. I don't think that there is anything from that specific time period that I would go back and be like, guilty pleasure. I don't know. I mean, because, like, I don't really tend to actually go back and re-consume manga and anime very much. That's why I haven't re-watched Digimon in a very long time. It's just not really something that I do. Mm-hmm. I do go back and reread, like, iShield 21 occasionally. But, not really anything else besides that. So, yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I watched in the, you know, from the 80s and that was going on in the 90s and stuff. I did see Ronin Warriors, and they're, you know, like, they played Speed Racer all the time, they played Sailor Moon, and stuff like that. I have not gone back and watched them, though, in that time. So, yeah. Okay. Next question?
Yeah.
This is a bit of a long one. Oh, God, why are there pictures? No! All right. From Caster UK. Hi, Chris and Nick. After listening to some old podcasts, I thought I'd shoot over some questions for the next Q&A. The first one is for Nick. In one of the recent Q&A... Oh, okay.
This question sent in late November.
You discussed the gender identity with an interesting argument of, I don't think Kubo has given us enough to tell, but concluded by saying you didn't think Kubo intended to make a transgender character, and the author's intention was all that mattered. I have no major qualifications in Lit Crit, but when I studied it for a few years, the author's intent as a definitive argument was a rather archaic one, and the style I was taught was that while the author's intent must be regarded as a factor, it is still just an interpretation of the story, which can be different to each. That is true. When it is something in term as definitive as gender identity, however, it is not. If you're talking about, like, themes and so on and so forth, then yes, author's intent only goes so far. You were correct about that. If it is Giselle a guy or a girl, does Giselle identify as a girl or as a guy, then you're wrong. It comes down to what the character identifies as, which only Kubo knows. So, yeah. If Kubo wanted to actually establish a transgender character, then that is different. Like, Wait!
Are you arguing with the question?
I'm a little angry because transgender is a sensitive issue right now, you know, and so you're just I know that you're talking about this from the Lit Crit point of view, in which case your point of, you know, author's intent only goes so far But if you're saying, like, I, you know, narrowed stuff down too much, while making the argument about transgender rights, that gets me a little bit sensitive, because, like, it's ending on saying, like, you're being insensitive about it. I mean, I know that wasn't your intent, but it gets me a little bit...
You did start up that Tumblr site that said, fuck Caitlyn Jenner. I mean, you're kind of... You got a reputation for, you know.
The actual question here is, to what extent do you think personal interpretation can come into a story, and how much is defined by author intentions? And does this change when the author is no longer alive to ask? Well, we could go on for hours about that topic.
It seems like such a huge question after, and like, would you eat part of your butt cheek to survive?
It varies. It really does. And a lot of it actually depends on the type of work you're talking about, you know? And how people perceive that series, really. In terms of something like Bleach, I think personal interpretation is going to vary between people. But, honestly, when it comes down to it, it's an action series with a lot of lore behind it. There are not a whole lot of tremendous, you know, symbolism themes and so on and so forth. There's a lot of, connection to Japanese spirituality and so on and so forth, a lot of which I honestly do not get very much. There's a lot of connection to old Japanese culture and so on. But, you know, you're not going to have a conversation about magical realism when it comes to Bleach. Let me just tell you that much, basically. So it depends on the type of series, and it depends on the author and stuff. And honestly, the last part, when the author is no longer alive to ask, people still disagree with George Lucas on Star Wars, so, and people disagreed with J.K. Rowling on parts of Harry Potter and stuff. So I don't think that is actually a factor. I think that if you disagree with the author's intent and continue to believe in your own interpretation of things, then you're just going to, whether they're alive or dead.
So. Yeah, I mean, the fact that there's someone out there who's like, no, it's legitimately Harry Potter's in the sane asylum. Like, the facts are there to prove it. When the creator is like, explicitly said, dear God, no, that's not what's happening at all. You're insane. And they're still like, nah, she's just wrong. I mean, what are you going to do?
And that's a matter of, you know, literary interpretation as opposed to facts that occur in the story, such as Han shot first.
Yeah.
Or... I don't know, or, you know, beliefs on what should have happened in the story, like, Ginny and Harry shouldn't have been together, it should have been Harry and Hermione, and I have passages from the book that prove my reasoning. You know, it's different for, you know, stuff that factually occurs in a story as opposed to things that thematically occur, which is one of the reasons I got riled up by you saying it's actually literary criticism of the authors, and then goes far. It's a fact about one of the characters. There's nothing. If you want to, now that I think more about that conversation, it had to do with whether or not I thought that Kubo was making a statement about gender identity or something like that.
I think it was whether or not he was actually going for that, as opposed to just making a character who was weird, and he saw the same, you know, he saw a guy pretending to be a girl or dressing like a girl to be a weird thing, as opposed to actually being a transgender identifying character.
Which, again, then that means that, because we were talking about what was Kubo's actual intent in that case. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's no exact answer for that. In a way, because, you know, we're not Kubo. We don't have direct access to ask Kubo, and I don't know if Kubo will ever answer that question. But based on the clues we're given, and, you know, our interpretation of what his quality of a writer is to this point, you know, we are kind of putting a small assumption on you that it probably isn't an attempt of making a transgender character. But I suppose you could argue that maybe there is interpretation of that, it's a question you're really going to get an answer to, and I wouldn't think too hardly on it.
Right. Oh, there's a second question.
The next one. What do you feel about peace in the Middle East? Can it be attained? Like, oh, no.
Between Fairy Tail and Bleach, which do you think is the better? In this current arc, as a story and as a manga as a whole, which is the best or has committed the least sins, at least? I think you gotta say Fairy Tales committed the most sins.
Fairy Tales committed the more sins, but I think Fairy Tales also probably the better manga. At least it's not boring so often as Bleach can be at times.
It's more entertaining at this point, I think. Because even the bad parts we have a good time with, so.
And at least it does pay off some things, even if they're extremely minor or get kind of retconned later or things like that. I did get at least a scene that gave some justification to Elfman. I'm never going to get that with Chad. I just accept that.
Alright, and the rest of the email suggestions, let's move on to the next one.
Yes, the question here. Dear Y Ruler of Tennis and Chris Bazookalarius. Now, we mentioned last time that we want that to kind of be like the opening, so I think we might be starting to get into some of those ones. The Pain arc is regarded by many to be one of the better, most memorable arcs of Naruto. Since WMR wasn't around when Naruto was at that point, what are your thoughts on the Pain arc? Setup, fights, love confessions, conclusions, and all.
I love it except for the aftermath.
You actually did your read right to left while I was in the process of that, right, and you mentioned
it. I basically talked about how, because this would have been 2009? 10? One of those two. I can't remember when I actually started doing this stupid thing. I talked about how I was like, God, I fucking hate Sasuke, and he's ruined this manga through, you know, most of your review after talking about how good it had been before. And then I got to the point where I was like, it does seem like it's on the right track now. And I was referring to the Pain arc. Because it was really good. You know, there was a lot of dramatic consequences, and people were dying, and serious stuff was happening, and the fight was really good. And yeah, that was even before, I think, Hinata had made her big sacrifice, and so on and so forth. Now, when he's immediately like, I'll just bring everyone back. It's just like, wait, you can do that?
That's a thing in this series?
That's bullshit! Removed a lot of the consequences of it, which got me very angry, but the rest of it is actually very good, I think. Just this guy just laying waste to the entire village and killing a whole bunch of people and really stepping things up. In the end, it's not nearly as bad as like the immediate feelings left behind by it, too, because it plays into the theme of forgiveness and breaking the cycle of violence and stuff. So, yeah, it's a very good arc.
I will admit, I'm not as high on it as you are, if only because I didn't care much for Pain himself. I think the tone of the series, or the arc was very good. I did like kind of feeling like, oh wow, things are really happening, like Konoha is getting messed up. But there's something about Pain's design and his powers that just didn't really do much for me. So I guess I didn't care for him very much in that regard, and maybe that's why I wasn't as crazy about the arc. Also, I was never as big of a Naruto fan as some other people, but I still recognize the start of that arc and the way the promise it had were very good. But that fucking... I'm so glad we have it, though, because nothing makes me laugh harder than fucking Naruto not giving a shit about an honest confession after she got form.
Alright. Next up is from The Bacon Thief. Hey now, Bacon C and Y Ruler of the Bacon. I shall try this question thing again. Here's hoping this hasn't been asked already. Question 1. What is a fight that you think is great but is often overlooked by the most popular choices? For instance, in One Piece, it seems like everybody automatically goes to Luffy's fight against Lucci as their favorite fight. I do agree it's a great fight, but I always preferred Luffy's fight over Arlong to being the better bout. There was a better build-up with the confrontation, and we see both sides coming up with different ways to come up on top, besides who can punch the hardest. Finale ends in a room where Nami has spent most of her time in. Luffy says this place should exist, proceeds to curb stomp Arlong through his own damn house. I don't know about you, but I think that's a really epic moment in my book. Now, I think about the Doflamingo fight, it does seem somewhat similar to that fight in terms of the actual battle in the build-up. Overlooked fights.
I would certainly agree with you that Luffy versus Arlong is a very overlooked fight. It's a great one. I think also Luffy versus Crocodile, the final fight between them in the tomb, is an absolutely fantastic battle. I even kind of like some of like his smaller ones at the start of the series, like him versus Don Krieg or Kuro. Like, they weren't very like long fights, but I do remember them always being very entertaining. I'm trying to think of fights that were overlooked. I always kind of liked Kanjuro versus Shino in Naruto. It's not a fight that's particularly, like, crazy memorable. You know, it doesn't have, like, the absurd strategy that some other fights have. Like, it didn't, you know, it was at the time when, what's his name? The Shadow Guy. Why am I blanking on the Shadow Guy's name from Naruto?
Oh, wait. You're talking about the Thriller Bark arc?
No, Shino versus Kanjuro from Naruto.
Oh. What's... I got confused because you said Kanjuro, and I was like, wait, One Piece? And then I thought you said Sanji instead of Shino.
Oh. No, what's the puppet guy's name?
Kankuro.
And that was during a time when Shikamaru was getting fights all the time, and we were seeing, like, how inventive he was using his shadow manipulation style. But I still really like that fight. It was the only time Shino actually had any kind of, like, legit fight in the series, and it was like
whenever
a chance
Shino did something, he looked like a badass. Yeah. He only ever did like three things though.
But it was so cool too, because they actually built up this idea like, oh, he's one of the stronger members of the Leaf Village, like Konoha 12 too, because he's, you know, in the essentially like the semifinals of this tournament. Like, he's going to be one of the bigger members, and he gets his fight kind of robbed from him, and this is his chance to kind of get it back. And he, you know, fills Kokoro's puppets up with bugs to kind of prevent their joints from moving. It's a very cool kind of fight, and I always liked it.
In terms of stuff that's overlooked, I do really like a lot of Shikamaru's fights in Naruto. Mm-hmm. My go-to for one of my favorite moments is always him confronting Hidan. But I don't think that that's necessarily an overlooked moment. Let's see here. I think that some stuff in Aisho 21 gets overlooked. Like the Kyoshin match. Mm-hmm. I think we've talked about that one. It tends to get overlooked. Honestly, a lot of the stuff in like the second tournament, I think, it tends to overshadow the first one, really. Because there's some really good stuff in that first tournament. Naruto fights, I can't really think of too many. That don't involve Shikamaru, although he is, like, you know, not one of the major characters, I think his fights do kind of get a lot of love when they do pop up. Let's see.
There's one fight I really like a lot, and I don't know if this counts as
overlooked. I really like the fight between Tosen and Zaraki in Bleach. That's a cool fight.
Oh yeah, that was a good one. I don't know if this one counts. I feel like more people would like it than I'm expecting, but maybe I'm just thinking that because my friend and I really liked it, and those were a few people I knew who watched anime at the time. But I always loved, in Rurouni Kenshin, the fight between Sano and Anji. I know everyone kind of looks at the fight with, what's his name? Fuck, the fire guy, Shishiro, as being like the big kind of awesome fight in that, but I always loved the way Sano and Anji had this, like, crazy intense punching match that ended with like this really cool kind of finishing maneuver. And they were, you know, Anji was also like an opponent that wasn't completely despicable. Like, you didn't hate him as much as you did everybody else. He actually kind of had grown to like him a little bit. So it was kind of a compelling battle. And it was a nice one. I really liked it.
Second question. On an unrelated note, have you guys ever read the Ranma 1/2 manga, or do you have thoughts on the series? Now, is there any possibility of covering it in the future? I feel like I'm literally the only one who has ever asked you guys about that series. I do think we have had suggested to us in the past. It's, you know, just one of those series that's been around long enough and been the, you know, consciousness of anime manga fandom that it was kind of bound to come up eventually as a suggestion. We may get to it eventually, but it's, you know, a longer series, so we would have to prepare for it and stuff. I have never read the manga, but I have seen a couple episodes of the anime, and I've also seen one of the movies. So.
I've heard of it. I know of it. I've not seen any of it, though, unfortunately. My friend Frank bought the manga, but I just never had an interest in it.
Next up.
This one is from The Dark Might. It says, hello, Rolo Mayo lover, and why ruler not giving a Miracle Whip a chance? I had listened to your November Q&A podcast and heard you answer my girlfriend Kit Kat's question regarding our Mayo versus Miracle Whip debate. I have to say I was quite disappointed with your answers. You jerks didn't even do a live on-air taste test of the two products to decide which was better. I could not accept your answers, and as such, our debate rages on to this day.
Someone's a little bit sore.
Anyway, I come to you both to help settle another relationship debate. I hope you both take the proper time to evaluate
I thought we were answering manga-related questions. We weren't, like, a relationship helpline.
I think we should do both, Nick. No. You technically have, like, a little bit of leeway in being in a relationship. I'm, like, a perpetually single monster. But I feel that makes it even more amusing for me to provide relationship advice. I'm like, I don't know, have you tried spanking her a lot? Like, our problem is that she takes the car out without telling me. Why would that help? I'm like, I don't know. I fix her breasts. They're like, you don't stop emailing you. Now, I've come to you both to help settle another relationship debate. I hope you both take the proper time to evaluate both sides of this debate and give us an informed answer. The fate of our relationship could very well be in your hands. Question, which is better, the original Full Metal Alchemist anime or the Brotherhood anime? I'm for Brotherhood, Kit Kat's for the original. Please watch both series and get back to us on this. Thanks.
Oh, yeah, we'll get right started on that.
Brotherhood, though, is the answer. I'm with you on this one, Might. I'm all for Brotherhood. Not that I don't like the original, but Brotherhood, I think, that's the story I like.
Well, you really like, King. You just said Bradley.
King Bradley. King Bradley's pimp, so I'm all about that, you know? But I have heard a lot of people who just love... My ex-girlfriend actually was a huge original fan, and she was like, I watched Brotherhood, but I like the original better, so... It might just be also which story you experienced first and you enjoyed. There's a real question, though. He says, if you both could be a chef in the Food Wars manga, what would your specialty cooking style be, and what fancy title would you give yourself?
I remember we definitely answered this question.
Well, I don't think we answered this. I think... We just got this question after we did the episode where I revealed myself to be the king of honey mustard and you're the Pop-Tart prince. So there's your answer. I would be the chef that specializes in adding honey mustard to everything, and Nick's specialty is cooking Pop-Tarts and being satisfied with it.
Oh, what's he doing? He's taking the package out of the box. Now he's taking the aluminum foil off the Pop-Tarts, and now he's putting the Pop-Tarts on a napkin.
Is he going to the toaster? Is he going to the toaster or the microwave? The toaster or the microwave? None. He's going to eat it cold! That's like your big twist. Like, you serve up the plate. They're like, I didn't see it go in the oven or the toaster. You're like, I know. It's like you overconfident. It's like, I know. I'm serving it to you raw. It's like, I'm really, what?
Really, it's just a cold pastry, though. It's like, it's a delicious cold pastry!
It's brown sugar cinnamon! You shut your whore mouth!
So, but you served this last time. Does there need to be anything else? Or could you at least serve a different kind of Pop-Tart? All the others are inferior!
There's like three good flavors of Pop-Tart, and you're getting the best of them! We want me to bring some bullshit flavor in? Take your cookies and cream shit and go home!
Becoming an adult is realizing that all the Pop-Tart flavors you liked as a kid are actually shit.
Yeah, I know. I used to eat s'more Pop-Tart. My morning from, like, ages probably, like, 10 to 12 was wake up in the morning, watch an episode of Pokemon, like a rerun at Pokemon, eat a s'more Pop-Tart, and then go to school. And I go back, and I'm like, ah, what a classic life. And I'm like, that's fucking... I mean, the Pokemon was sweet, but that, like, s'more Pop-Tart every day was just horseshit now looking back at it.
I had like a limit while I was going to school at a certain point because I had so much homework to do where I could only watch like an hour of TV a day. So I had to like plan it out. And I was like, okay, you know, I'll watch Dragon Ball Z, and I'll watch Pokemon. So I, you know, made sure to tape everything and stuff like that and watch it when I had the time. And if there was something special I wanted to watch, I was like, okay, I remember which episode of Pokemon comes up next, so I won't watch it this time, so I can then watch this one instead. And that was when, you know, using the VHS, you know, to, the VCR, rather, in order to record everything and stuff. Because you didn't just have a fucking TiVo back then.
Yeah.
It would have been nice. Anyway.
Yep, it would have.
Next question, I guess. I am the reader, yes?
Yes.
This comes from Tropical. I know I had already sent in questions already that you guys must be tired of answering or perhaps skipping because they are anime related, but I wanted to send in one more question alongside. Thanks for everything you guys did this year to cheer me up. You are very
welcome. Yes. Thank you for listening.
Chris, you started that RP forum was a great place for fellow fans to not only discuss the show and the manga we all gather to read each week in Jump, but also as a trove of creative storytelling and wonderful tales that I greatly enjoy to read in my spare time. I hadn't been able to make the time to join in personally, to my shame, but just reading the stories you guys wrote was a pleasure. I had also been listening more regularly to the SLB podcast, Super Larry's Brothers, and I greatly enjoyed the episode you did with your dad. Having a sit-down with a father is a really emotional experience regardless of how corny or inappropriately gassy it might get. But I'm both happy and slightly envious for it. Keep up the good work, boss.
My dad ended up farting into the mic at the end of the podcast.
You told me that. Nick, I just want you to know that no matter what a handful of bleach fanatics might come at you screaming, I and many others, and given how millions read ANN Meet each month, I don't know about that. I thought that arc you wrote for Anime News Network was one of the best they had published in the half year that they started that project. I even rank it among the top five modern editorials they published, and ANN had published a lot of good editorials. I hope you can continue to do such pieces on occasion, because I always found your analysis to be intelligent and thoughtful. I thought that article highlighted it best. Gracias por el trabajo duro.
I agree with him so much, too. I always find your analysis on series to be so thought-provoking, and yeah, you have a very critical mindset that I've always envied.
No. I'm not even going to read the question. I'm so happy. It gives me more gratitude. Week of Mug Recap was always that constant in my life, through though small. Did help me stay positive and happy, and for that, I am thankful to you guys. The launch of the Patreon was a huge boon, and the additional content has all been top-notch. Here's to next year, hopefully being even better. It's like you knew we were going to be reading this in January. Seriously. Thanks, Tropical, and we appreciate all of you guys so much. So.
Yeah, it means more than I can say when somebody says that something we've done or I've done or anything like that has helped them through tough times, has helped them kind of stay happy and things like that. I've suffered through my own kind of bouts of depression and things like that over the years. So knowing that anything we've done or anything, you know, I've been a part of has been able to help other people through tough times, things like that. It's immensely gratifying and you know, kind of warms my heart and makes it feel like there's a purpose to all of this. And very glad to hear it's helped people. So thank you very much for the kind words, and thank you for listening.
Now for the last question of the year. This isn't manga related, but it's one I had on my mind ever since you guys may be curious enough to check out and follow American wrestling. I'm sorry about that. My question is, does anyone actually think wrestling is real?
No. Maybe.
There are 7 billion people in the world. I'm sure someone believes wrestling is real. I do like the details in the follow-up. I ask this because I honestly can no longer tell if fans are joking, and I am incapable of understanding your American humor, with 2 U's, or they are serious and making me unable to comprehend how anyone could believe such insanity. Just the other day, I listened to another podcast talking about how in the 90s there was a sequence of events involving late actor Leslie Nielsen going on a nationwide search for The Undertaker, resulting in the climactic match between the Grey Undertaker and the Purple Undertaker, and it left me questioning how anyone could believe this. That took place early to mid-90s. So by that point, Vince McMahon, I think, had already admitted that wrestling wasn't real, because of the steroid trials, basically. Mm-hmm. And even if he had not, people basically knew wrestling wasn't real by that point. Like, by the time Hulk Hogan came around, it was like a running joke among basically everyone else about how fake wrestling was.
Yeah.
So, in general, people did not believe it was real at the time, and had not for quite a while. But they essentially, around that time, were just ditching the pretense entirely.
It's got me on a tangential thought, shockingly, Nick. Like, I feel like there needs to be a buzzer. Do you remember way back in the day, maybe you didn't, it might have been on Nickelodeon that it ran, but there was like a in-between, like, kind of bumper cartoon they occasionally ran that were like, essentially like cartoon animal Mythbusters, you know, way back before the Mythbusters even existed. Like, they were just meant to, like, answer, like, wacky questions. And, like, there was one, it was like, you know, can you eat a bag of potato chips and only eat one potato chip, essentially, was, like, the thing. And they were like, yeah, no, you know, we'll find out, and they like, eat the whole bag, and they're like, oh, are there any left? And it's like, yes, just the bottom of the bag, Chip, and it's like some blackened husk of death. And they're like, yes, you can eat only one potato chip if the rest of them are the disgusting bottom of the bag potato chips. But the thing that made me think of that is there was one where they were like, is wrestling real? And, like, one of the fucking animal people gets in the ring, gets the shit kicked out of him, and they're, like, getting, like, a fucking cobra clutch, and they're like, so, what do you think? They're like, it's real! I was like, I guess you did it for children, but I was like, even then, I was like, wrestling's not real. This is ridiculous. Did Vince McMahon pay for this?
We gotta convince the Nickelodeon audience that wrestling's real.
for our network that doesn't run on their station at all.
In the future, we might have a kid-friendly Saturday morning version of the program on.
One day, our program will be made for children.
Wait a minute. Nickelodeon doesn't want it. Okay, we'll put it on the CW then instead.
That did happen for a little while. But yeah. No one thinks wrestling's real.
Question from Gielson. Sorry, he gave me like a pronunciation guide to his name that I had to stop to read. There are some series I want to recommend for Weekly Manga Recap, but in order to read them, you'd have to buy the volumes, and they can get expensive. Would this stop you from ever doing these series? The ones he kind of mentions are Pet Shop of Horrors, the original in Tokyo, and Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney, the manga. If you're willing to do these series, then may I suggest that you buy a few volumes at a time and hold them until the day when you are ready to do the recommendation. It's certainly not something I'm against. I think the easiest one would be probably the Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney manga, because I don't believe that was too absurdly long, actually. I think that only had a couple volumes, and if it's something that I could just like pick up and read, and then I could just send them to Nick or something like that, that could definitely work. It's something to certainly consider, and I don't think it wouldn't be a reason to exclude those series from ever being a recommendation.
I agree with that, yeah. Also, there's a suggestion for a movie commentary name, Monthly Movie Roots. Not bad.
It's not as good as Y&T 5K, but clearly I'm the only one who thinks that.
I still am ashamed of that. Another question from Andre. Dear Why the Ruler of Time and Relot, because the T's not separated, yeah.
Oh.
I love to listen to you guys and wonder, what is your favorite anime opening and ending songs?
Ooh. Freckles from Fernie Kenshin, it's the best.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh my god, have you not heard it before? It's probably the not. Fucking worst. It is so weird. Like, it starts off with like this cool guitar riff, like, and all these like cool shots of Kenshin, like half shaded in darkness with his sword. And then it, like, opens the actual thing. It's like, I've got those freckles on my cheeks and the sun
rose
down.
Oh, it's a opening, right.
Yeah, you're like, this is fucking the lamest shit. Who would do this?
That's not my type of music.
I fucking love it. It's so gloriously bad.
Oh, God. Outlaw Star has a kick-ass opening. All Through the Night, really catchy. Cowboy Bebop, you know, just to go for a standby. Pokemon opening is really fun. Japanese Digimon opening is also really catchy. There's just so many. U.S. Shock is really, really good. My favorite is, what's it called? Last Train Atarashiyasa from Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds, the second opening. That is a kick-ass song. And I attach strong feelings of nostalgia to it because it covered basically one of the best parts of the series, and it was somehow like the best part of a really good series at the time. But there are a lot of really good ones, but that one's my favorite. By the way, Cruel Angel Thesis, the Eva opening, it's good. It's not that good, guys.
You're like, I'm gonna stir up shit.
I will. I'm going to get all the... That's the next thing that people get pissed off at Nick for. Criticizing Bleach, criticizing Cruel Angel Thesis.
I like... If I just think dub, I definitely always love the Pokemon opening. Digimon opening was good. And the Yu-Gi-Oh! Opening I actually own on my iPod. Because I love that
thing. Boom,
it's just so fucking like nerdy, nostalgic epic, too. Like it's a great combination of them. I think the first, actually, it might have been the second opening to Full Metal Alchemist, Ready, Steady, Go.
Yeah.
I love that song. I actually use it as a running song. It's a great song for that. It's got a great pace to it, and it has, like, that right bigging to, like, Ready, Steady, Go, like, that one's great. I liked, actually, I think it's one of the endings for Rurouni Kenshin. I think it's called Heart of Sword is a really good one.
Oh, I didn't even think of endings. There are lots of good endings. Bleach has a lot of good openings and endings. I mean, if you can count on one thing from that series, it is awesome music. What was it? Hokiboshi, or Comet, Shooting Star, whatever you want to call it, the second, third ending, rather, is so good. The third opening, Ichirin no Hana, really cool rocking song. I always thought that the instrumental ending when they did the dub of Tenchi was really good. Also, the instrumental version of... what is it called? I forget what the opening to Gundam Wing is called, but the instrumental version that they do at the end is really cool. Just the rock instrumental version.
I also liked, I think it's the second Naruto opening, Haruko Kanata by Asian Kung Fu Generation.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That one's really good. And there's quite a few One Piece ones I like. I love We Are. I still fucking, like, I can listen to that one all day. But there's also the ones, Rainbow Star I like a lot. There's other ones, I can't remember them off the top of my head, but those are some really good ones.
There's so many good ones.
Yeah. I used to try to open up a Weekly Manga Recap of, like, an anime song or something like that. And then maybe it's something I'll have to try to find a way to do again.
Alright, where were we?
Is it? I think it's my question.
Yes.
Question, dear Weekly Manga Recap, I love listening to you guys talk about wrestling and fighting, and I wonder if you watch the awesome web show Death Battle. If so, what is your favorite and least favorite Death Battle? Well, I can tell you I've seen one, so my favorite and least favorite episode of Death Battle was Goku versus Superman. Also, I have to answer your question about Fairy Tail Parasite crossover, about why Lucy and Miggy are together, is that they share the same Japanese voice actress. Yes, I actually have heard that from quite a few people since then. I did not know that at the time, but
no one I did not know it. That, what, Hirano Aya was Lucy. Next question.
We are in December now, guys, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If Osamu was a harem protagonist, which girls would be part of it? Picking at least five, and why? Bring it on, Chris.
Cheers from Brazil. Well, thank you, Brazil. This is right up my alley. Well, Kitora's number one. It's not even a question.
Kitora is first girl, so yeah. She wins.
Yeah, she's there. Chica is definitely in there. Childhood friend.
Right, she's the lowly option, and mm-hmm. Childhood friend as well. Konami is the cool senpai character.
What's their operator's name? I'm blanking on hers. Yo.
I know. I always forget her name, even though it comes up a billion times every chapter.
Yeah, she would be in there
as, like, the right option. Like,
she's the big sister option, too. Like, I feel like
But she's, like, the one that, like, honestly, seriously, just go with her, dude. She's probably the best for you. She's got it together. She's got a nice job. She's, you know,
she's competent. She doesn't
talk down to you.
She believes in you.
She's Shiori. For you.
Shiori is it. And then let's see, we need a fifth one in there.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what?
Outside of that group.
Maybe Nasu. Kind of like the distant, kind of exotic character, you know, being that she's like a trigger, you know, Trion user, you know, a shooter like Osamu, who has, you know, an obscene level of Trion above him, but she is kind of... Actually, you can even play into the idea, there were theories at one time, and they might still be true, that she's, her human body is actually very sick, and that's why she does, like, the Trion body so well, because it's a chance for her to not be as ill. So I think she might be an interesting fifth girl in there. Anyone else really fit into that?
I'm actually going through the character guides in the back of my World Trigger volumes, looking for options. So I saw Izuho come up, but I think she would just be friend to Chica, who supports the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she'd be the Yui character.
Right.
Yui? What the fuck's that stupid glasses girl in Nisekoi?
That is Yui, but she was in love with Raku.
All right, well, the glasses girl supports on Adara.
Oh, fuck. Ruri.
Ruri. She'd be the Ruri character, then. Although, oddly, she has, like, exact opposite personality of Ruri.
She'd be like Ruri if she weren't awesome. But she would have a cat on her head.
Yeah, a cat. Cat might also be in the pairing options for the cafe bar.
Gender. That was a fun question. I like that.
Yeah, that was a good one. I think we got some good. We got a good group there. Next one here from Jonah Bacon Lefkowitz with the best last name. Hello, hostess with the mostess. If the mostess is referring to Edwin impersonations and hating Bleach. I hope this email finds you well. I have two questions, one straightforward and another one on the lighter side. First, what are some of your favorite character relationships? Now, I'm not necessarily talking romantic, though I'm not ruining it out, but I'm talking more about relationships between characters that stand out in your mind. For example, I find the relationship between Kurokibo and Alice to be extremely engaging, if not somewhat underutilized as of late. And in Ice Shield 21, the relationship between Haruma, Kuroda, and Musashi was a high point throughout the entire series that really helped push forward the values of the manga, the values the manga was trying to present.
Haruma had some interesting relationships with a lot of people.
He had unique ones with just about everybody. There were some people that he just, you know, kind of was mean and shitty to. There were some people that he was kind of a, you know, hard, tough love mentor to. There were some people that he was friends with. And there were some people he was legitimately not threatened by, that, but just weren't completely intimidated by him. Like, the first time you meet Aegon, and Aegon's, like, in the interview with him being just as cocky and arrogant as he is, you're like, oh, not everybody kind of bows down to this guy.
I fucking love that, the interview chapter.
It is one of the best chapters of that series. It is flawlessly done.
I you kind of stole a little bit of my thunder, because I was actually going to point out that Hiruma and Mori's relationship is one of my favorite in manga. They just have such a cool back and forth going on between them. I mean, even if you did, the reason that people, you know, kind of ship them a bit is much less to do with it was occasionally joked about, and much more to do with the fact that they interacted with each other in a way that they did not interact with anyone else.
She's the only person that cut through his bullshit. Yeah. You know, that saw that he was actually human underneath all the persona and tried to treat him as such.
Yeah, and as much as he tried to push her away, she was also the person that he trusted more than anybody else.
They have a brilliant relationship. See, the moments between those two are honestly why I feel like the best reason I can exemplify for why that series had such phenomenal writing. Because I feel like in a lot of other series, that relationship wouldn't be that well done. You know, they portray the same thing, but it wouldn't be done nearly the same way. I really enjoy that one. I actually have always kind of liked the quasi-rivalry that Sanji and Zoro have always had. I've always found it to be very fun, and I love the moments where the two of them get to interact. Like, there's the moment where they're going into Enies Lobby, and, you know, they're always fighting usually, but there's those moments where they put that shit behind them and team up, and there's the moment where the beasts they're riding on, I forget the name, it was, I guess, Sodom and Gomorrah were the two beasts, I forget which one they're riding on, but it's gone blind, and it just wants to get them as far forward as it can, and it's, like, taking so much damage, Chopper's like, if it takes one more kind of, like, blunt attack, it'll die, and there's a big wall coming, they're like, holy shit, there's a wall coming, and Sanji and Zoro at the front are like, set a wall. Well, I don't see a wall. Yeah, I don't know what they're talking about. And the two of them just go forward and just break the wall down so the fucking sea monster can go right through without getting hurt. And just like the cool moment where they're just so confident and cool. You're like, oh, these guys are fucking great together. And like the groggy ring match where they just refuse to get along. And finally when they're just like, hey, you know, shitty chef, how about for the next one, like 3 minutes or whatever, we put aside our differences. And they're like, yeah, they fucking team up and you're just wrecked shop immediately. I think they had always had a great relationship. Excuse me, I hurt my throat.
You got too excited talking about Sanji and Zoro.
Talking about One Piece is dangerous for my health.
Oh, no!
Now for my somewhat wackier question, which is based on the humorous punchline about being put about putting the revelation about pot stickers in Food Wars at the end of a Bleach chapter. Looking at every series you cover in the recap, would you be able to pick a character from each manga to be put into Food Wars purely on the basis of how horribly inappropriate they would be within that series? Well, the one
character... I don't think that any One Piece character would be out of place in Food Wars, honestly.
Maybe like a Lucci, someone who's just really quiet and serious and doesn't seem to enjoy anything might work. Toriko, the only character who fits in my mind, is the fictionalized one we made, the one dude in the world of Toriko who doesn't care about food, who's just like, stop! I want to watch television! Turn this cookie tournament off!
Why is it on every station?
Isn't there a game show network or something I can watch?
Oh, God. true nightmare, a non-foodie in Toriko.
Obviously, Chica would be World Trigger's character, because she can't eat the food and have, like, her clothes ripping off. That would just be inappropriate, so...
Well, I think we've talked about that one crossover chapter with, like, the female protagonists of the anime series, where she eats and they're like, oh no! And she's like, just, like, shakes her arms like, oh, thank God, because she's totally underage.
Who else would be a bad fit for it?
Rocky.
He's just fighting people. Like,
no, he's like, wants to kill
him. He's like, Shokugeki, does that mean we battle? Yes. Do honorable cooking. That sucks. I'm just going to cut you with my sword. He just assumes every Shokugeki is a death battle.
Because he tries to kill people and he just like accidentally chops up the meat or something like that, prepares a wonderful dish.
Yeah,
this isn't so bad, actually. I think I'll just do this.
This is going to be my thing now. I don't know if there's any black... I guess Charmy and Black Clover. No, I guess she'd be appropriate. She always wants to eat.
She would just be Rindo.
True. I guess Gaushman, maybe. Because he's just there thinking about his sister the whole time. And, like, she's not here. He's like, I know!
He's just, like, sculpting cakes that look like her and stuff.
Oh! Actually, Glock is brilliant on that. Grimmy. Because his dishes would be the most boring thing ever. Because he has no imagination.
What is this? It's a Pop-Tart I took straight out of the package.
They're like, so, Chef Grimmy, what was your brilliant idea? Well, I had chicken.
I made chicken stock.
And they're like, what'd you do after that? Ta-da! Oh my god, I want Grimmy and Food Wars so bad now. Like, every fucking Shokugeki is in, they get like, alright, your secret ingredient's chocolate. Do something innovative with chocolate. What'd you do, Grimmy?
Innovative, Grimmy.
I put a bunch of chocolate and I poured it into a bar shaped thing and froze it and made a chocolate bar. What'd you make the chocolate bar out of? I melted down a couple Hershey bars. You did nothing!
To serve as the base for the actual chocolate coating to go around. So it is two layers of chocolate.
That's in blowing people's minds. He's like, ta-da. Like, he keeps doing like a magician's pose, like, ta-da. Everyone's like, this sucks!
Why haven't you been kicked out yet?
I keep imagining that you can't fucking expel me.
God damn it, fuck you. Oh, it's fucking great.
Oh, great question, sir.
Next question. From Cinema Freak X. Hope you don't mind another few questions. One, if you could have one actor voice one character, it could be a voice actor, it could be a Hollywood, television, or even online star, you could have them read the dialogue for one character from one series for the rest of your life, well, my life or their life, whether you wanted it to be comedic, serious, or anything else, who would the actor or actress be? What character would you like them to voice? It can even be ironic, like a deathly serious actor voicing someone super cutesy. I think we have demonstrated on more than one occasion what actors portray what characters. So...
Well, I guess the question would be, like, would we want something serious or we want, like, a silly thing where any time, you know, Yuha Box has a line, like, actual fucking Foghorn Leghorn comes in and does it.
I would do something serious. I don't know exactly what I would do. I have occasionally thought of what I would do if I could, like, have my own Aisha 21 anime adaptation that was actually good. And I think the part of that would be choosing ideal actors for it. But I don't know exactly what I would do.
Liam Neeson as Haruma.
No.
No, I don't like your Ice Shield 21 crossover. There's no room for Liam Neeson in it anywhere.
I was kind of wondering. I was like, no room for what, Chris? Liam Neeson. My second question. Yeah. Oh, wait, you have to answer it.
I'm trying to think of like someone who I'd really want. Like, I actually kind of want like a versatile voice actor, I guess, in a series. But one voice actor to one character, right?
Yeah, you could have one actor of any type voice one character.
I'm trying to think of who would be, like, the best character to get the most out of for that. I'm a big fan of Ralph Garman, who's a podcaster and radio DJ in Los Angeles. and he does a lot of varied voices. That's where I got quite a few of my impersonations from, because no one fucking does an Edwin impersonation. That's not like a character people pick up. And I think he'd be like a great talent. He's got a very good comedic sense to him. I just don't know who I'd have him voice. Maybe something like Mineta in My Hero Academia, like a character who like the voice would just be like some.
Yeah, your roses, blue roses.
Yeah, you roses. Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin as him. No, I guess we will do that.
Who's him?
I considered Liam Neeson as Osamu, but I was like, it's going to be such a waste of him doing it. With almost all of Osamu's lines are like, I should really get stronger, guys. Have you ever seen the tangential thought when the warning goes off again? It was a Super Bowl commercial, I guess, like last year or something like that, where it's Liam Neeson playing Clash of Clans. And it's like he loses and he's like, oh, I see what you've done there, Hot Boy 97. You come into my town, wreck my village, and think you'll get away. I'm coming for you. And like, is it a coffee shop? They're like, coffee for Liam? Liam? And it comes up, he's like, it's Liam. Whatever. It's like, you'll rue your day, Hot Stuff 47, when Liam Rage 94 takes your town. It's fucking great. Like, anytime Liam Neeson's in anything, it's usually hysterical in that, but it's seriously a funny as fuck commercial. Awesome.
Second question involves crossovers. I always enjoy when characters from other series or worlds bounce off of each other. In particular, one of my favorites was when Toriyama revealed Dr. Slump / Dragon Ball was set in the same world and had his characters bounce off each other in zany adventures. A more recent example is when Erina was serving the female stars of Shonen Jump and probably one of the funniest things I had seen in a while. What are some of your favorite official or unofficial crossovers in manga, or what are some you would love to see?
I'm trying to think of some that actually exist that I could bring up, but I can't honestly think of that many, like crossovers between series. I know they exist. I mean, I like that photo of all the women from Shonen Jump, I guess.
In bikinis.
In bikinis. That was pretty sweet, I guess. I mean, it's a poster that's been on my wall for a while.
They know what their fucking target demographic
is. Yeah. But, like, an unofficial one? Like, I'd love to see more things like the female stars of Shonen Jump, like, interacting with the Food Wars instance. I think it'd be kind of funny if you took, like, the most badass character from each series, like your Zoro, your Kenpachi, I guess asked. I don't know who would be from like
Black Clover. Who's the badass?
But like that one character from each series is a badass.
Royal Leon, wouldn't it?
I guess, yeah. And you put them in like a like an arena, like it's gonna be like death match, and they're all getting super excited for it. But then they're like, and all your weapons are fucking like stuffed animals, like in the pillow fight or something like that. And then just show them all somehow still doing like absurdly violent feats with these like fake weapons and shit. Like they're still cutting doors
they're
down and shit.
Each other with wiffle bats.
Yeah. That might be, like, something like that I think it'd be kind of funny. Like, playing more into the idea of, like, those archetypes in each series that they could kind of have interact.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That sounds fun. I'm just thinking Jump All Stars again.
Yeah. My question?
Yes.
Dear Wonder Woman of Time and Harley Quinn T, who do you think got the better end of that?
I guess I did.
You're the more iconic, certainly.
Yeah.
But I think Harley Quinn's... I think I like her over Wonder Woman. More personality. But I think the pun of Wonder Woman of Time fits a little bit more.
This is a weird question, too.
If you two were to swap bodies with anyone from manga, who would they be? And you can't pick anyone from World Trigger. Well, that's just... why? Why, Andre? This is from Andre Golden, by the way. Why, Andre? Why would you take World Trigger from me? Swap bodies with somebody. You know what? No, this might be a bad idea. Chef Dojima from Food Wars, I take his body. Because that
just
dude...
Just flex?
I just walk around and be like, hello, ladies! They're just like, are you gonna do anything to maintain that? No! But I assume this takes a while to go away.
Let's see here. I'm trying to think of stuff. Maybe I would take over Raku so I could just, like, get that stupid fucking round and circle situation resolved already.
So you're like, well, you're going into the... Is this like a Freaky Friday scenario, or I just get their body?
It says Freaky Friday question.
Oh, I didn't even notice it was Freaky Friday. So I get to go into their world then. Hmm. That might change things a little bit. You know what? I'm gonna go to say Alice Nikiri. Not because I want to be in her body. I want her to be in mine. I feel like she'd do shit in my life. She'd get it fucking moving in a good direction. She's like, if I'm here, I might as well fucking get this piece of crap going somewhere.
You switch back eventually. Your kitchen has been entirely transformed.
I'm like, oh, this is great. She's like, well, what'd you do in my world? I was like, I really just kind of sat naked in front of a mirror for a while. You're also not allowed in the school anymore. I really bombed that Shokugeki. Turns out you can't just pour bunny mustard on ice cream.
Also, everyone thinks you have a ridiculous Valley Girl accent now.
Yeah, I know I talked in your natural voice, but I just interpreted you as something else, so this is what people think you sound like now. You sound like Shoei the Loon from Looney Tunes. Tiny Toons.
Alright. Next question. Hello, Chris. Rollin'. Rawhide. Wrong song. Whatever. Rolled. There we go. T, I guess. Larios. And Nick. Why, son? Or let's cast a dozen thousand votes for Marika, the ruler of time. I was so disappointed. I was like, what, is just one loser voting for her?
It seriously is.
First of all, concerning one of the questions in the last Q&A, I think All Might's next question will be Alabama Puppy Farm. Next okay. Attack, they sent it. This is from Wensleydale, by the way. Wensleydale, lemon curry, wait, my name is already a nickname, Cheddar. Let's get to the questions. I do realize the last two aren't questions. Then again, I don't care. Here we go.
Okay.
Number one, what a roller coaster this is. One, not sure if it has already been answered or not, but how would you imagine a One Piece Telltale game? So, isn't that the kind where you, like...
Choices? Yeah, the big thing is, like, it's a narrative kind of adventure, and the big thing is, like, the choices you make, but ultimately, all of them are kind of superfluous choices, because at the end, you still have to get to the same end point no matter what you pick, so... I guess the choices in a Telltale game...
I feel like, honestly, they would, like, ask for your input and then do the same thing regardless of what you say. Just, like, railroad you through the plot, because...
Well, they're different.
There aren't too many moral quandaries in One Piece.
Well, the thing is that the Telltale games, one of the big things they'll do is they'll be like, well, who's going to live and who's going to die based on your choices? But that's not really, like, a thing in One Piece so much, so I don't know if they could really do it that same way. I haven't played enough of Tales of the Borderlands, which maybe diverts that a little bit. I haven't played any of the Minecraft game, which I have to assume doesn't feature much death. But, One Piece game would be tough because I feel like not having character life as a threat might be hard to work with. I guess maybe one of the bigger choices just be like, you know, you play some character and it'd be who you pick to join your crew. And then maybe that would play into it a lot more. Like, those would be the bigger choices. And then maybe, like, what devil fruit someone gets or something like that. There could be some interesting stuff to it. But I think the fact that it doesn't have death as a possibility might stunt things a little bit. I like to think whatever character is there, though, knows when to stop CPR after a man's head's been imploded by something.
Oh, that's the guy. I'm thinking, like, maybe they try and perform CPR after a guy's head is head crushed, except it actually works because it's One Piece, nobody dies.
It's still, like, one of my favorite moments from playing the game. It's just, like,
it's still the same amount of current.
Bump. 3, 4, smash! 5!
Second question. Similar in vain to the one in my previous email, if the Straw Hats were producers on Channel Awesome, what would they review?
Luffy would review meat.
Yes.
Zoro would review swords.
Yes.
Nami would probably review dresses of some kind, like a fashion or something like that, because she does have an opinion on that. Usopp would review comics, probably. Like a like yeah, car. Like something. Some nerdy it, kind of thing.
Something with, yeah, with stories behind them.
Chop would review candy. Sanji would review food, obviously. High cuisine. Or he would review hot women he walked by. Yeah, he would review women he walked by. He'd be Benzai, basically. He would be Benzai.
His French attacks would sound even more French.
Frankie would review, like, video games or, like, cool media or, like Power Rangers episodes. Frankie would
have probably his own giant channel with a bunch of different series on it.
I honestly, you know what I feel like? I feel like if anyone, I feel like he'd be kind of like what the same stuff Juario did. Like, just stuff he's insanely passionate about and, like, kind of like old Japanese stuff, robot series and things like that. I feel like that would really kind of fit him, too. Brooke would review...
He would review music, but he would also occasionally show up on Sanji's poop review channel.
And then Robin would review, I don't know, people dying?
She wouldn't have a consistent theme. She would switch between them every time, and, like, her introduction would be matched to it, too. He's like, welcome to my show, where we talk about... And then it's just a different thing every week.
Or it'd be like... Because, like, we're assuming that they're doing these reviews all on the ship. Like, it's like a Doug... shoots a nostalgia critic where it's like a room in the Straw Hat's boat where there's just a camera pointing the wall with like a desk and chair, and everyone when they're doing your reviews gets in the chair. She's just the character who's every so often like off camera kind of critiquing them or commenting on shit.
Jesus, constantly ruining takes.
Yeah. Like hands pun, like like making people pick their nose like, oh, Robin!
And then the last two, which aren't actually questions, I guess. Imagine Toriko turned into a harem series.
I like this question less than the World Trigger one already.
Pick the protagonist in all the usual tropey love interests like the tsundere, the childhood friend, the not-blood sibling. Well, I guess there's only
one option. Are there five women in Toriko?
I think that this would have to be a gay harem, honestly.
Yeah, okay, gay harem.
Or you would have Rin be the protagonist, or, you know, one of the other few...
No, gay harem's the way to go.
Komatsu's your protagonist, Toriko, Coco, Sunny, and Zebra are your options.
Okay, so Toriko is, I guess, what would he be? Like, I guess, first boy? I don't know what...
Zebra's tsundere, Coco is the cool one, and Sunny is the bitch.
Is bitch a character type in harems?
I guess that's technically...
Like, Defrosting Ice Queen would be, I guess, him, maybe. And then
alright, so Zebra's the tomboy, then.
Yeah, Zebra the angry tomboy, then.
Alright, done.
Okay.
Number four, name your top 10.
Oh!
Or just top 5 characters from 20th Century Boys.
That's so many characters to consider. Ocho, Kana, Kenji.
Friend.
Fuck. I'm trying to... There's so many characters I know I'm forgetting there people. I really like the priest, but I feel like that's such a small character to put in there. Oh, God. Yeah, I'll leave it at those three. That's so hard to, like, try to think of other characters from it. There's so many to consider, and then I'm like, oh, do I base it off of how long they were in it, or things like that?
How many more do you think, questions do you think we should do? We've done a fair number. We've done, like, 25.
Yeah, maybe do, like, one or two more and finish it up.
All right, cool. So you do one, then I'll do one, and then we'll be wrapped up.
All right, so this is from the Blockhead, Patrick Anderson, also Bear Crusher Balky, who's one of the mods on my forum, that's his character there. One of them. Hello, Chris. Transform and roll out Larios. And Nick, why not? Of Time Freeman. Hope those nicknames are good enough to have my questions answered. They are not. Next question, Nick. First question. Oh, God damn it! I just read this one. Now I'm angry. Both of you, or used to be, quite into League of Legends, for what I understand. If you were to put 5 manga characters to fill the roles of a team, top, mid, jungler, AD carry, and support, which characters would they be, and which team do you think would win if they were pitted against each other?
We're not going to do individual teams.
Okay, we'll just pick a team off that.
Rocky is our jungler.
You do your team. I can make a team of my own, thank you very much. Asta's mid, because he's the perfect counterpick to everything. That'd be mid. Jungle would be Kazuma from Kazuma Squad, like a stealth character, good at supporting people. AD carry would be Uryu, because he has a bow. And, I don't know, probably do some crazy stuff. Support would be... had someone for this too at one point too. Actually, wait, no, hold on. Actually, no, Usopp is AD carry, and support is Orihime. And then top would be, who gives a fuck, Bakugo. There. I made a team. Good. We did it! We did it, Nick! Second question. Welcome to the Bizarro Universe. What do you think of the Bizarro version of Weekly Jump Series? What do you think would be the Bizarro version of Weekly Shonen Jump Series? I said, what would they look like? What do you think of them? No need to mention them at all. And what does your own Bizarro versions think of our Jump Series? Well, I mean, like, correct me if I'm wrong, aren't Bizarro versions of people just, like, the idiot versions of them that are, like, quasi-opposite? Like, it's not even necessarily, like, complete opposites. They're usually, like, bye-bye! Like, it's just stupid shit like that, and then they're just all idiots.
And they like terrible stuff.
Yeah, like we'd be like,
I don't know if Bizarros are even capable of creating art.
What would Weekly Manga Recap would just be like weekly, or like monthly manga talk or something like that. Like I don't even know what it'd be. I feel like they're just idiots. I don't know enough about the Bizarroverse, I guess. But I guess like opposite world. You know what? Actually, instead, I'll go with the Bizarro Universe presented in C-Lab 2021, where it was just slightly altered versions of themselves, like Debbie had bigger tits and was more of a whore, and I think Captain Murphy had an eye patch, and Quinn was some horrifying penguin monster for some reason. That was just like, Bizarro, you love me!
What the fuck?
Have you not seen that episode?
I haven't watched that series. Very long.
It's... The first two seasons of that show is great, and the Bizarro episode is one of their best, if only because Quinn's Bizarro is so fucked up, and it's just him offended the entire time. Like, this is such horseshit! Why is my Bizarro so weird? Bizarro Quinn like a peanut. Don't kill me! I'll go with that, and, like, Bleach is just, like, a high-class British manga. Like, it's very sophisticated. One Piece is very grimdark, like there's a lot of murder and shit every week.
Ashihara is able to put out 5 chapters each week, and
he basically is Hero.
I was about to talk about Hero, but he's not in Shonen Jump, so.
Yeah. Well, basically Ashihara would be Hero. He gets series out all the time, but they're not that great usually.
Weird fan service.
Toriko essentially just be the inverse of what it was. Like it started off really bad, and then it's really picked up after a while. Although Toriko is like half parody all the time, so I guess it'd be like it's just a straight no comedy like shonen battle series, I guess. And that's it. And I don't think me and Nick would be doing weekly manga recap. We're actually be doing like a ballet podcast or something like that, like something completely different in this Bizarro universe.
You're saying ballerinas don't read manga?
I'm just thinking something that neither of us seem to have an interest in, that some reason we're really... Like, some other super niche podcast that we do over there. We're the woodworkers! There we go. Third question. What do you think is the biggest moment of stupidity in manga history? Either action ignorance of the character, the plan of the villain, or creative choice in the manga, which was the dumbest? I actually was trying to compile a list of, like, the top 10 characters who deserved the fate that befell them from their stupidity. And the only two I actually ever got on there was the dude from Biomeat, who is, like, the American soldier. He's like, look at it, it's so cute, it can't possibly hurt us. Like, everyone's
oh God,
like,
oh God,
it's
oh
just
God,
going to murder you.
Save me, I'm going to grab onto you so you'll save me.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to be as fucking inconvenient as possible on the way out. It's them, and then the other one I have on there is the dumbasses in fucking Gantz who are singing the One Piece theme song as they're flying up into the spaceship to be eaten. By the aliens that were murdering them, like, a week ago. Whee! They're like, no, they seem so nice now. Da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da, all our hopes and dreams.
Gantz does have a lot of stupid characters. That's part of the point.
Yeah.
If we're, do they have an extra one? The whole thing in Rabbit Doubt, or just Doubt, I guess, was the name of the manga. You know, because, like, the villain could hypnotize everybody, and somehow her plan still didn't seem like it was possible for it to work, because everyone just had to be so stupid for it to work. Alright, our last question, again from Andre. Of course we have to end it this way. Alright.
Dear Y, the ruler of time, and roll it.
Those weren't fun. You did that already.
We may have to disqualify this question and do the next one. You guys are very funny and have lovely voices, so I suppose you two
could have
a series like a One Piece of Bridge or Fairy Tale of Bridge. I know that sounds hard, but you could at least pull off a one shot from a Spring fan. That's not a question.
No, there isn't.
Alright, I'll do another one. From Aquaconda. I heard Chris mention Ultimate Marvel in one episode, so I thought I would ask you guys what you thought of Ultimate Marvel as a whole. I thought it started out strong, but then had a big dip in quality overall, except for Spider-Man, of course, both Peter and Miles. I didn't read it.
I've not read much comics, though what I know of the Ultimates universe mostly is pretty horrible.
There's Ultimate Marvel, but there's also the Ultimates.
Okay.
I think that's two separate things.
Well, I thought Miles Morales was from the Ultimate Universe, because that was the thing. They did the Battleverse, and they were like, we're going to combine the universes. And what they meant was like, we're going to keep the old universe, but we're going to bring Miles Morales into it.
He's a popular character.
From what I understand of Ultimate Marvel, though, it sounds horrible. Like, I know once it eventually they knew it was going to end, they just let people do whatever, and one of the scenes has, like, the Blob literally eating the Wasp alive, and I was like, that's fucking horrendous.
And there's, like, a bit where, like, Magneto breaks Xavier's neck. Just uber violence for the sake of it. You know, for shock value, because, oh, you can't do that! But I did it! In a thing that's gonna be done, so we'll have no consequences, so shock you! Ha ha!
Yeah.
And that very negative note, I think we're done.
We got through a lot. We're part of the way into December now, and we'll keep chugging through the next time we come around.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll actually get more than a month's worth of questions the next time. But we got through quite a few, so yeah. We want to thank all you guys for listening, and also a special thanks to all of our Patreon supporters, because you guys allow us to create special bonus stuff like this episode. Not sure when the other bonus stuff is going to be coming this month, but keep your eyes out and your ears open.
I did post a poll then. You can find it on the Weekly Manga Recap Twitter, WMR Podcast, right, for the voting for the Weekly Manga Recap Live. So you get to pick your choice of a couple different chapters, kind of go on which series you want us to live read. The chapter descriptions are in there for some of them. Some of them just like, I don't know what chapter this is. Fucking, you'll figure it out later. I started getting a little, like, sassy in some of them, too. But you can vote for it there and then see which ones you want to voice act. As it is right now, though, everyone wants you to be, you get your chance to do Aizon again, Nick. Aizon.
Yes. Alright, yeah, so look forward to that. We tend to have a great time whenever we do Weekly Manga Recap Lives. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to...
Yeah, I think that's good too. Anything else we want to throw out there before we head off in that dusty sunset?
I can't believe David Bowie's dead. I thought he was going to live forever.
Yeah, that's kind of a bummer. Why are we going to end this on like a super sad note?
Actually, I have a theory that he just went back to his home world. Honestly,
he was just an angel visiting us. He just returned.
Angel, alien.
Oh, you're like, oh no, he went in a spaceship. They just found his discarded husk when he turned back into the ethereal being that he was.
His songs were autobiographical.
Yeah. He was actually a being composed entirely of light. He just left behind his meat husk when he returned back home. I'm like, oh, no, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Just don't question it at all.
Yeah, I'm like, that sounds perfectly reasonable, actually.
I guess that was what David Bowie was all about.
He was telling it all the time in his songs.